about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I mean, it's that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
You get 3 rice balls a day, and that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
I'm unsatisfied.
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the, you know, the normal hygienic procedures?
I swear to God, if Beer Mug interviews another person, I will kill him! Oh my God! Beer Mug, shut up! You are a horrible, horrible, horrible little man! You are a disgrace to all Jewish alcoholics. Go away, crawl back into your hole, and die!
How has life been for you up to today?
Bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why not me? This is America.
Don't Bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I mean, I guess.
Roll another one.
I myself am a drummer.
Just like the other one.
One nice ass.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Sorry to crash the sausage party.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Where's the outrage there?
Roll.
Scared of poo-poo?
Just like the other one.
I like soccer. It is good.
This one seems to be about to admit.
Your friend is completely retarded.
I don't have another cent.
Son, never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
That's not brown rice.
Just pass it around.
You've got a low your expectations.
And now, how have you thought? What are your thoughts on how it has gone so far?
Our feature presentation.
A little tribute to Beer Mug right there.
That was very nice.
I was shedding a little tear there, Bean.
Did you enjoy that?
A lot of Beer Mug.
and by shedding a tear, that was painful to listen to. But
for all of us,
good nonetheless.
I'm hoping that means we're near the end of Beer Mug's time here at the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, once you start getting to the retrospectives, usually it means the show's going off the air. So I felt like maybe that would, that push us in the right direction.
Hasten it.
That could be in my OBIT package, too.
Yeah. I'll save that. That's right. Welcome in, party people, to another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday. I don't know about for the listener, but it's been an exhausting week for us on this side with no Monkey and no Omar.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's been a very tough week. Very excited. Ralph mentioned yesterday that our friend DJ Omar Khan is now a father.
DJ Omar Khan.
Lisa, you got to check your email. He sent a photo.
Oh, I will. I haven't seen that yet.
Cute little girl.
I'm sure.
Cute little girl. So
cute
we're actually
babies.
We're going to talk to Omar later on. Got a great show planned for you. I'll tell you all about it in a sec. But first, though, I thought this was fascinating. Look, I think I might be online more than most people. Of course, there are a lot of people who are online way more than I am as well. But the internet has revolutionized the world. Let's face it. I honestly believe that the internet is the most significant technological invention of my lifetime.
Could thank Al Gore.
Yeah, well, he did invent it. Let's never forget that. It's almost hard to imagine life without the internet now because of all the things you do. Lisa, I've heard your AT&T smartphone commercials. I know how useful the internet can be.
It's shockingly useful. Like, if you forget your phone or something, you're screwed.
That's it.
Your whole
life
is on there.
All of a sudden, you don't know when the movies are. You don't know. You can't buy anything.
Yes.
You can't communicate with your friends. I mean, it's gone.
You should just curl into a ball and die.
Well, I thought this was an interesting study from the Bolton Consulting Group. They're talking about how important the internet is. In fact, to the point that In less than 5 years, the internet will account for more than 5% of the GDP for industrialized nations. That's how
really?
Big
really? Is that the commerce they, on the internet that they're referring to?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is, it is also interesting that they asked Americans what they would give up to keep the internet. This is always interesting when you have to compare. Like, I'm at the point, no joke now, where I would give up television before I'd give up the internet.
Yeah, if you had to, absolutely.
Because the internet is so much more interactive, so much more useful, and most of what's on television you can watch on the internet, sometimes in real time, sometimes within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be an easy case for me. So here's some of the what people would give up to make sure that they had internet connectivity. Some of them make a lot of sense, like satellite navigation. It's nice, it's useful. Some people use it a lot, but 84% would give that up before they'd give up their access to the internet. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Fast food.
Oh, well, yeah. I already did that, so that's not a big deal.
83%. And that's saying something when you think about how many people regularly eat fast food. I mean, there are a lot of people who that's multiple meals per week is
Mugs?
Swinging by McDonald's or
would
something,
would that have been
right?
tough, well, like, prior to your diet?
That's all I ate. I ate was fast food.
So you wouldn't have made that deal.
Well, for internet,
Think about the internet.
Yeah.
Remember porn.
Yeah.
Remember porn before you answer.
Yeah, definitely. I would have definitely given up fast food then.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, you know, who don't cook, that's how they that's how they eat is fast food, right? Chocolate.
Yeah,
that'd be a tough one for a lot of you ladies.
It would.
77% of people said they would give up chocolate before they'd give up the internet.
God.
Alcohol, 73%.
Well, then I'm screwed.
Yeah. Are they lying? I think they would break down. I think they would agree to that, but then about 4 weeks in, they would say, screw it. Get rid of the internet. I got to have a drink.
I know. Can you give up? Can you give up the internet for a day while you drink?
Well, I don't think that's how this would work.
Because I could do.
Coffee was 69%. That would be a tough one for a lot of people. Like you, Lisa.
Brutal.
Man, are you cranky if you don't get coffee within the first 3 minutes of walking in the room.
Oh, man, God. This is really hard. These are hard things.
Yep. I think without coffee, this show would be off the air half the time.
A lot of shows would, here's an interesting one. I'm surprised this isn't way higher. 43% of people in this study said that they would give up exercise before they'd give up the internet.
Wow.
I mean, I thought that'd be 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame. Are you kidding me? I can't work out anymore? Okay, I guess. 10% would give up their car. 7% would give up showering to keep the internet.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah, I think that's a hypothetical. I don't think they're actually making anyone do it.
You know what? Those people are the ones who don't shower anyway and spend all their time on the internet.
Yeah, maybe so.
So it doesn't matter if they shower. They don't see anybody.
That's right.
And the final category, and I saved it for last, I don't know what you guys think about this number, but 21% say they would give up sex to keep the internet.
Wow. Well, like you said, Bean, there is porn on the internet.
Okay, but is watching porn and whatever you do while you watch porn, is that sex?
I think they're, I mean, look, I don't know. It's, you know,
do they mean sex with someone else?
I think they mean with someone else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think.
Again, those people probably just home doing that anyway.
Maybe so. So anyway, the internet is our friend. That's what we're learning
here
today.
Yes, it is.
So let's talk about today's All-New Kevin and Bean Show.
You're missing the whole point. This show is a joke. You are a joke.
How dare you? Got a lot of stuff coming up today, including, of course, it's Friday. That means Ralph has the movie beat. Our old friend Petros Papadakis is going to be in studio today. So much going on in sports right now. In basketball and in football, and of course with March Madness as we head into another weekend of that. The P is on top of all of it. He'll bring us up to speed. Got a couple of very funny men on the show. Rob Riggle, if you don't know the name, you would absolutely recognize his face. He's a correspondent on The Daily Show. He's been in tons of movies, including the Hangover movies. He also is one of the stars of 21 Jump Street, which is big this week.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be joining us on the program today. The hilarious Jimmy Pardo on the show today. He, of course, of the popular Never Not Funny podcast. He also is the warm-up guy and a featured performer on the Conan O'Brien show.
Okay.
And he is hilarious. He'll be joining us in studio today. We'll talk to DJ Omar Khan, find out what the details were like for his wife in labor for 29 hours.
Is that all?
Oh, man.
What's up
really?
With that?
Really?
Right.
I'm so glad I'm not a female.
have to give birth.
Well, there are ways to avoid that.
I did.
Can't they give, not only avoid the getting pregnant
just skip
part,
the but, whole thing. That's what I
but,
say.
But even the 29 hours in labor. I mean, can't they give you the shot and can't they do the cesarean or whatever? And you're
you don't
in
want
and
to do a cesarean unless you have to. That's
really?
Not good. Yeah.
Bean. Really? Saying.
Yeah.
I'm on a schedule. What's Kevin been doing on his vacation? He's been out all week. The only clue we have, since he, you know, doesn't check email and doesn't talk to anyone on the phone when he's on vacation, the only clues we have are his tweets, and they're impossible to decipher. I don't know what language some of them are in, but we're going to talk to Kevin's assistant, Linus, who we haven't caught up with on the program in a while. We love Linus.
I think he tweets in tequila. That's the language.
That could be it. And I'm very excited. I asked producer Dave to line up our friend Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. He, of course, is also the night watchman. He has had a hell of a week down there at South by Southwest in Austin. And, of course, he's been playing all over the place with Bruce Springsteen. And I can't imagine what that's like to be a musician, a guitar player, and get the phone call from the boss that says, hey, come join me, come play.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that must be like. That's got to be heaven. So anyway, we'll catch up with Tom, too. All of that plus the grand prize drawing. Who's going to Russia to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers? We'll find out today on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday on the world-famous K-Rock. You enjoyed that, didn't you, Ralph?
Oh, I love me
getting
some Mumford.
Speaking of artists you love, it's been a while since I've seen you as excited about a musical act that we are going to discuss coming up after the top of the hour. We're going to meet Gillionaire.
Oh, man.
Or is he Gillionaire? Which one would he be? He'd be Gillionaire, right?
I like to think of him as Gilliganaire. I don't know why.
He's this guy.
I'm the best.
I'm the best.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
He's that guy, so we're going to
hear
him.
He's the worst singer, actor. Ever to come out of the African American community.
Wow.
Is he bad enough that he could take off, though, that he could be a thing?
I hope not.
I mean, I'm just going to say two words to you, and they are Biz Markie. It has happened. There is
I'm
going
to say two words to you, average homeboy.
Well, there's that as well. Anyway, we'll discuss the Gillionaire coming up here next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Russ got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Great piece in the New York Times by Bill Maher, who is asking everyone just to stop pretending they're offended by everything that everyone says.
Praise Jesus for that. Thank you, Bill Maher.
Oh, it's such a refreshing piece. I mean, Bill Maher, I think, is a smart guy. And this is a well-written piece that talks about Hank Williams Jr. and Rush Limbaugh and Robert De Niro and CeeLo Green and Tracy Morgan and Don Imus and Kirk Cameron. And he's not really, I mean, although Bill obviously leans to the left with his libertarian views, this is not a position that's political. He says, let's have an amnesty from the left and the right. On every made-up, fake, totally insincere, play-acted, hurt, insult, slight, and affront. Let's make this Sunday the National Day of No Outrage. He's asking people not to get so bent out of shape when a comedian or someone who's a celebrity says something about something they don't like.
I like it.
I agree with him 100%, but I honestly think we're at the point now where everybody is so afraid of anybody getting their feelings hurt anywhere that even if you're not offended by it, it seems like it's at the point now where you go, well, somebody who's going to be offended by it, so that guy shouldn't say it.
Yeah. And as Bill points out, that's what makes America great. You know, is the fact that people can say things that some people don't like, but they still can say them. He says, I don't want to live in a country where no one ever says anything that offends anyone. That's why we have Canada, he says.
Which, of course, is intended to be offensive to Canadians.
but they won't take it because they're nice and polite.
But did you see this week on that exact same tip, Ralph, that the L.A. City Council passed a resolution against the kind of hate speech that John and Ken did on that Whitney Houston comment? They said there's no place on the airwaves for that kind of comment. That's a government body passing a resolution saying we don't want that sort of thing said on the radio.
You know, people usually scream First Amendment anytime anyone says anything that offends them. You know, and they lose sight of the fact that the First Amendment was put in place so that the government can't stop people
right.
from saying
right.
things
exactly.
that are inappropriate. This is one of those cases where you can scream First Amendment because literally this is the government trying to tell people that they can't say something.
Yeah. City council people are complaining about what somebody is saying on the radio. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, so do I. First Amendment! First Amendment! While we're talking about offending people, Abercrombie and Fitch.
What they do
is offending people, because apparently a website calling it AbercrombieandFitchOutlet.com was discovered selling something they call N-word brown pants.
Hmm.
Now, the real Abercrombie & Fitch is saying the pants are being sold by a counterfeit website, and the company is trying to get it shut down. But even though the product is not being sold by the real Abercrombie & Fitch, the retailer does have a history of racially insensitive T-shirts, so I guess that's why these people who are selling this stuff took advantage of that name and put it in a website name. But if you see someone selling you N-word brown pants, don't buy them, okay. And it's not Abercrombie & Fitch. Okay. And don't be offended at them. I'm offended by this next story. Have you been following the story about Mike Stone at all? Kid in Minnesota?
Which one? Which one's he?
Mike Stone is a high school student in Minnesota going to his senior prom.
Yeah. Yes,
he wanted to go with Megan Piper. Now, mm-hmm. Megan Piper happens to be a smoking hot 19-year-old porn star. And Mike Stone is a fan of her work.
Okay.
So after 600 tweets or so, he wore her down and she agreed to be his prom date. But now the powers that be, Minnesota School District, has stepped in and said Megan Piper cannot come to the prom with Mike Stone. The school said if she comes to the prom, they will arrest her.
What?
What? For what?
Now, this is Mike Stone tweeting this, so I'm not quite sure, you know, the
facts.
They
can't arrest her. There's nothing illegal about it. Maybe they can bar her entrance into the school.
Yeah, the principal of the school said that having her at the prom would be inconsistent with its visitor-related policies.
Now, are they discriminating against her just because she's a porn star?
Yes.
Or do they have a blanket policy that they are using to discriminate against her about not being able to come to a prom with a non-student? I wonder if that's how what they're doing.
They might even have an age.
She's 19.
19 doesn't seem, I mean,
yeah.
She's not 35.
Yeah. So, poor Mike, after all the work he put in to score a porn star as a prom date, he's not going to be able to take her.
I can't even believe, still, the discrimination against people who are doing legal work, like adult film entertainment. They don't want you to teach. They don't want you to do so many other things just because that you got that on your resume. I don't get it.
She is being discriminated against, and yet Kendra Wilkinson is given another reality show. Didn't Kendra Wilkinson just tell us that her 15 minutes of fame were up?
Yes, and she was fine with that.
Yeah, well, apparently she's not, because the Wii Cable Network has just announced their new series, Kendra on Top. Hey, wait a minute. I might be interested. It's about her relationship, of course, with her NFL player husband, Hank Basket, and their life together.
Oh, God.
So I guess it's not over.
We
also announced that they are renewing, they're bringing a new series called Cindy to the network. It's the Cindy Lauper reality show. So we can finally find out what Cindy Lauper's been up to.
I would rather watch that than Kendra.
Mark Burnett is the producer, by the way. What happened to Mark Burnett? Remember when he used to make shows that people wanted to watch?
Survivor?
Yeah,
sure do.
Those were good times. And real quick, more TV news. Gary Sinise says rumors of his show NCIS New York are not... rumors about his show being canceled are not true. So don't buy into that. It'll be back on the air on March 30th with 5 new episodes. And NBC has given its show Smash and a second season renewal. That show will be coming back.
Oh, good.
So there you go. If you're a
Are you watching, Lisa?
Fan.
I am watching. I'm a little behind, but I'm watching.
Yeah I've got it all DVR'd. I've not delved into it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm enjoying
it. I love me. I got the McFever. You know that.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, Bean, by the way, we were talking about 30 Rock yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so surprised. I just caught up on my 30 Rocks. I'm shocked that you didn't go off on a flaming tangent about the fact that Weird Al Yankovic, your buddy, was on 30 Rock.
It was all the talk on the internet yesterday is how excited everybody was. I didn't even watch it last night.
You're no fan. I don't want to hear you ever say you're a fan of his again.
I'm a huge fan. I need to watch it alone if
Dina,
you get my meaning.
Oh.
So I'm going to save that for today when, you know, I got a few minutes by myself.
I feel like I stepped in a landmine.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rick Ocasek from The Cars. He's 63 years old today. If I'm not mistaken, he is still married to that supermodel, Polina Poroskova.
Yes. He is indeed.
Shocking.
Madness. Madness.
Like
dogs sleeping with
married,
cats
right?
Now. That's what we got going on.
Crazy.
Singer Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, she's 59 years old today. Catherine Keener turns 53. Richard Grieco, Booker, from 21 Jump Street, and of course, was Night at the Roxbury. Night at the Roxbury that he was in with Will.
Yes, yeah. Yes, good pull, Ralph.
47 years old today. Damon Albarn of Blur is 44 years old. Actress Kerry Russell of Felicity fame turns 36. And Perez Hilton, gossip blogger Perez Hilton, turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey!
3 weeks till Coachella, 21 days and counting. The K-Rock countdown to Coachella is on. You can listen every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. Be caller 106.7 and win a pair of three-day passes. 3 weeks from today. Hey, why isn't Jillionaire on Coachella this year? That's my question.
Because they don't know talent when they see it.
What's going on there? Jillionaire is, as the OC Weekly calls him, the one-man internet swagging machine. And we're going to play some clips here in a moment. He loves his swag, doesn't he, Ralph?
He's the best.
He is so into swag.
He's the best.
In fact, the OC Weekly interviewed him, and they asked him, what's the most swag thing you've done today? And he said, I tatted Gwaz across my chest. That's swag in reverse so that hoes can see that ish in their rearview mirrors like an ambulance. I'm going to send you a picture. I got a paper towel on it to stop the blood right now, Doe.
Oh, man.
That's what Jillian said.
I got to meet this
guy. Jillian is just a low-rent, not very talented guy. And yet he's an internet sensation.
Dare you. Yes, he's got hundreds of thousands of hits. He's got a bunch of songs on his channel. Snacks is a popular one.
Oh, here's love snacks.
Here's a little bit of his hit, Rifle Burst. Now, Rifle Burst is B-U-R-S. I think he means burst.
Well, you know, maybe.
But listen to how hard his beats are. Here's Jillionaire.
It's the hardest beat. This is the hardest beat anybody's ever heard. It's made out of gunshots. Gunshots are the beat.
Here's my favorite part.
What you over here harder than that?
What you over here harder than that? Gunshots at a beat!
Look how hard these beats are. I'm so swag.
I'm about to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts. About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts.
Yeah. Now, you do start to detect a through line.
Don't tease
in
me just a little bit of bursts. You have any more bursts?
We don't have that much time for bursts because we want to spend some time on I'm the Best. But here's the thing about our man, Jillionaire, is that he doesn't write a lot of lyrics.
No.
And he raps them a lot.
Yes, and he does tend to jump around like a lunatic while he's singing. Which
yes,
is fun.
They are quite repetitive. But here, I think, is the hit. This is the breakthrough. This is the one I think that's going to take him straight to the top. And by the way, no music at all on this track. This is all done with his voice. He didn't need equipment.
No, he's got the gunshots in a beat.
he the best.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
I'm already sold, by the way. And Lisa, that's one word. It's not I'm the best. It's no. I'm the best as one word.
I saw this. Then they play the words throughout, right?
Yes. Luckily,
so you
they
can
have
read
to.
Along.
They do
but
the closed captioning.
But they do it phonetically?
But they spell it like he says
yes.
it. So
I'm
the best. I-M-D-A-B-E-S.
Right.
I'm the best.
That's right.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. Standing on a car, finger in the air. With some women's with my fingers in their head.
Sweat, 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 sweat.
Yes, I be the one that wins Street Fighter tournaments. Make $1 million without even earning it. I got the highest score in the world on my SAT.
Okay, I don't know that that's the kind of hardcore rap brag.
Yes, it is, man. That's how you bring it in the street.
Really? Is the highest score on the SAT?
What'd you get on your SATs, man? Highest score, 1,600.
And he is, in fact, standing on the roof of his car with his fingers in the air, too.
Yeah.
He's not lying about that.
However, I've never...
However what?
I don't think you'll ever see him with his fingers in a woman's hair.
No, I don't think
he's
so.
He's not surrounded by a lot of hoes.
No, he doesn't seem to have a lot of respect for the ladies either, by the way.
And then I went to Everest to learn how to slay them trees.
Okay, well, explain that one to me, Ralph. Why would you go to Everest, which I assume he's talking about the mountain, right?
I'm guessing, yeah.
To slay trees.
I think he's slang in those trees.
I might be wrong, but I think he's referring to the Everest College, like a occupational school.
Why would you think that, Birma?
Because there's a place called Everest College.
Right, but why would you go there to slay or slang trees?
Why would you go to Mount Everest to slang trees?
Well, that's
trees?
What I'm asking.
Yeah,
that was my
there's
question.
There's not a lot of trees there either.
Trees is a street euphemism for marijuana.
Right.
And slanging is selling.
That's so what he's doing.
He's going someplace to slang some.
Well, that
slang
could be the college
trees.
Or Mount Everest.
I don't think there's a lot of customers on Mount Everest, though. So I think eventually Beer Mug's logic makes more sense than Beans does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. I'm just asking. I don't know, man, but that's reasonable. I'll accept that.
I don't have to count to know I'm worth a billion. You know what bigger number? I am worth a gillion.
He's worth a gillion.
He's a gillion.
Not a
gillion? No, he's Gillion.
Okay. Again, we're listening to the hot new rapper Gillion or Jillian, who is taking the internet by storm. You will. I'm apologizing in advance. You'll have trouble getting this song out of your head today.
I'm the best at watching 1990s videos. Power Rangers, all that Keenan kill. Oh, here we go.
Now, is that a brag in the streets too?
Yes.
Is it you're the best at watching 90s videos?
You know you are the big man in the crew when you can play Street Fighter the video game.
Uh-huh.
When your SAT scores are high, when you've watched a lot of Keenan and Kel and Power Rangers.
Right.
That's how you get mad props.
Yo.
In the hood, yo.
Well, forgive my ignorance.
I'm not best at making beats. That's right, my voice to track. And my swag is off the charts. That's a fact. I'm the best.
Yeah, he's got swag.
I'm the best.
Just that rhythm, but he's got
I'm
swag.
My car moved when I ain't driving it. My car pool, it's got a slide in it.
I love that line, by the way. His
carpool has
his
slide in it.
That's how swag he is.
That's clever.
That is actually.
Lisa loved that show, Carpool.
That's true.
Let's love this rap.
If this had been the theme song to Carpool, that would still be on the air.
At the target range, scoring all the headshots. Teabagging y'all, Lipton's on the rocks. Went to Maury and he said that baby ain't mine. Just for lying, I threw that dumb skank on top of a mine.
Oh, come on.
Don't throw her on a mine.
You go to Maury and it's not your baby, so you throw the hoe on a top of a mine.
Yeah, but she was a dumb skank, so.
Apparently she was a dumb skank for lying to Maury Povich. Exactly. All right, we already have time for a little bit more.
Now that kid's an orphan, and I'm the best. That's a checkmate. We playing chess.
Yeah.
My finger in this got so much I got arthritis now. There's so much gold on things I touch, they think I'm Midas now. Someone put a crown on my head, I am your highness now. I bet you thought you were the best. Minus now, cause I'm the best.
There it is.
I'm
the
best.
He's the best.
I'm the best.
Dave was talking about putting up a post, talking about putting it up at KevinB.com, KRF.com. Did that happen? Because people have to see this video.
Dave just informed me it was up.
It is
yes,
up.
Yes, it is up.
You can see Gillionaire yourself and learn if you're the best or if he's the best.
So there you go. And before you start emailing and tweeting and Facebooking and everything, you're welcome.
Tonight.
Kevin B. Lister James emails us, Ralph, suggesting that the reason that Gillionaire or Gillionaire is going to sling trees, meaning marijuana, at Everest is because it's already the highest place on Earth. Did that be what's going on here?
Yeah.
We're just dumb? Okay.
You're the best.
Jimmy Pardo joins us on the program later on today. Very excited about that. And also, what's his, I don't have him. What's the other guy?
Rob Riggle?
Yes, Rob Riggle's going to be here as well.
Beer Mug's upset with me because I saved you there. He was hoping for a moment with Bean.
And we'll send someone to Russia to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's happening.
Das Vidanya, Comrade.
First, it's Friday.
Bring jeans.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Da-da-da. Da-da-da. I review the movies without ever even seeing them. I'm the best. All right, let's talk about the movies this week. And not a lot in new releases this week. Not many new films in the Southland Cineplex near you, largely because I don't think anyone wants to take on the Mockingjays.
They're scared.
Yeah. I think everyone said, ooh, this movie's coming out this weekend. Let's not put out our movie now.
And that's on every available screen anyway, right?
Yeah, there are some multiplexes, I F you not, that are just showing that. That's all they're playing.
They
like
got?
On 34 screens.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of that.
It's madness. It's just Hunger Games madness. But let's talk about some of the other films you can check out this weekend, at least here in Los Angeles and New York. There is, in limited release, a movie called The Raid Redemption. This thing looks awesome. It's an action film about a SWAT team that becomes trapped in a tenement run by a ruthless mobster and his army of killers and thugs. And great stuff. It looks like Kung Fu Matrix, blowing up explosions, kind of good times if you want to check that out. It's in limited release, The Raid Redemption. Also, if you're a lady and you don't want to go see The Hunger Games and you want something genteel and British and romantic, you can check out The Deep Blue Sea.
I heard a great review this morning on this
one. I've heard a lot of great reviews about this. A terrific director named Terrence Davies directs The Deep Blue Sea, which was a huge hit on stage as a play. It's a story of the wife of a British judge who was caught up in a self-destructive love affair with a Royal Air Force pilot during wartime, the Second World War. Rachel Weisz stars as the wife of the British judge. And Tom Hiddleston, who, of course, you can see as Loki in the upcoming Avengers film. He was in Thor as well. He plays the Royal Air Force pilot. Here in a scene from The Deep Blue Sea is Rachel Weisz talking to her older British judge husband about this love affair that is destroying her life and their lives that she's having with this Royal Air Force pilot.
Where is he?
Drinking. With a friend.
What's happened to you, Hester?
Love, Bill. That's all.
And it's driven you to attempt suicide?
No. I drove myself. One can't go on living on a flat plane. Not after discovering something more...
primitive?
Shall we say natural?
This looks very British.
Yes, it
sure
does.
A lot of unspoken emotions and a lot of pauses. I'm telling you, get ready. If you're going to see this film, know what you're in for, which is a lot of people swallowing a lot of emotion and not expressing much.
I can't believe just listening to that clip that there's no salmon and fishing in Yemen happening.
You don't know how much air I took out of that clip, by the way. How I had to edit together those lines. Because a lot of, where is he? Drinking. With friends. What's become of you, Hester? I mean, we would have been here all day if I'd played it in real time. So
I'm unsatisfied.
You can check that out if that's your cup of tea. However, most of you, I'm guessing this weekend, if you haven't gone already, since the Thursday night midnight and then the 3 a.m. this morning shows were all sold out, you may have already seen The Hunger Games, directed by Gary Ross, starring Jennifer Lawrence, who's just becoming a movie star right in front of her eyes, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
And hasn't she already, even before The Hunger Games catapults her to superstar, hasn't she already been nominated for 2 Academy Awards?
I don't know about two, but I knew the one for Winter's Bone. Yeah, that's for sure. Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, great young cast in this film, The Hunger Games. It's set in a future where a boy and a girl from these 12 districts are picked to fight to the death on live television. What kind of world are we living in when we let this happen?
It's not a good world, Ralph.
Katniss Everdeen is the name of our heroine, played by Jennifer Lawrence. She volunteers to fight in the Hunger Games when her younger sister gets picked in the lottery, and she volunteers to take her place and go into the Hunger Games and battle for her survival. Here's a scene from the film where she is saying goodbye to her good friend and romantic interest, Gail. In the film, she is about to enter the Hunger Games. She's saying goodbye to him, and he is recommending to her that she should pick the weapon that she knows best, which apparently is the bow and arrow.
Listen to me. You're stronger than they are. You are. Get to a bow.
They may not have...
Well, if you show them how good you are. They just want a good show. That's all they want. If they don't have a bow, then you make one, okay? You know how to hunt.
There's 24 of us, Gail. Only one comes out.
And it's going to be you. Okay.
Take care of them, Gail. Whatever you do, don't let them starve.
Let's go. I'll see you soon, okay?
Mockingjay! 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 Yeah, I know nothing about this. I didn't read these books. I know nothing about this world, but I now want to see this movie so badly.
Excellent.
I've been brainwashed. Intense. The hype has just seeped into every pore. I've been living Hunger Games for 2 weeks now, and now I have to go see it. But I don't think I can because there's no seats left.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
In about a month from now, when there's some available tickets, I will go see Hunger Games. They're predicting between $100 and $150 million this weekend for an opening weekend for this film.
Dang.
And I do understand that the one way to really tick off a Hunger Games fan is to walk up to him and go, so it's just like Twilight, right? I understand that's what spins them out.
No, this is better! Twilight. With that 2 weeks ago.
I'm just, look, people, I'm just saying there's a similarity in terms
of... I just want to learn a little something
the
before you start saying
it. The fan phenomenon. But in the sense that it's an event film much like that. It's got the same sort of rabid fan base. Mm-hmm. It's got the same sort of literary pedigree. They both come from a popular book series. There are similarities, all right? Hunger Game douchebags. The only thing is that Hunger Game fans are a little bit more douchebaggier than Twilight fans, and I didn't think that was possible. So everybody crawl out of my ass. Enjoy your movie this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey, our own K-Rox Kevin has been on vacation this week. We miss him very much. He'll be back on Monday. And when he checks out, he really checks out, right, Lisa? That's the thing about Kevin.
Yeah, he is. We can't reach him. He doesn't know anything that's going on here. He won't read emails. He won't answer his phone. Nothing. He's done. He's gone.
And he'll also not start thinking about work until Sunday night, right before he went to bed, but probably Monday morning. He'll walk in Monday morning and he'll be like, so what did I miss?
Right.
No kind of attempt to, like, you know, most people do in their job, kind of get up to speed, kind of, you know, hit the ground running a little bit. There won't be any of that.
No.
And I I'm so fascinated with what goes on those days when he's, you know, incommunicado that we thought we'd get his assistant, Linus, who we haven't spoken with in some time here on the Kevin and Bean Show, get him on the phone and find out what's going on with our man Kevin. Is he even still alive? Will he actually be back on Monday? Hi, Linus. Welcome back, my friend.
Hello, the other one. Hello, the woman.
Hi, Linus.
How are you, too?
Linus, would it be too personal? Would you be giving too much away if you were able to tell us where you and Kevin are right now?
Well, I'm very busy because, of course, I'm taking care of Kevin and Kevin and the Bean Show. And Kevin of Kevin and the Bean Show is very, very busy. He's even busier on a vacation than he is when he's working, if you can believe it or not.
Are you serious?
So my schedule is just chock full. I'm just busy taking care of Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, the wife of Kevin of the Kevin and the Bean Show, and the children of Kevin and the Bean Show. And it's just a full-time job, and especially since we're down here in Mexico, which is just... just a paradise, but it's not enough just to relax for Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. No, we are on a hovercraft, and we've been circulating around finding orphans and giving them cakes made out of gold dust.
Really? That's weird.
Well, that is very generous, although I don't know. You can't eat a cake made out of gold dust.
You can eat it, but then you poop gold. So, you know, give a person a gold cake once, you feed them for a day. Give them a gold dust cake, and then they poop gold for a long time, and they have money or something. I forget the saying, but I'm just saying that Kevin is very generous, and he's very busy taking care of the orphans and widows of Mexico. And, you know, there's a lot of them down here because they cut off your head.
Yes, yeah. I've heard that. Well, that is actually very generous. I can't imagine. Do you ever get any sleep? It seems like you would be on call with a boss like Kevin 24/7.
I am. Being with Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Show, being his assistant is just really a full-time position. It's not really even a job. It's a lifestyle, and I just have to be ready at any time to fulfill any whim that he has. Like he said this morning, quickly, I need a camel. And I was like, what do you mean you need a camel? We're in Mexico. There's no camels. He said, no, I need a camel because the kids want to go on a camel ride. So I got a donkey and I just stapled a couple humps to him. I did what I could. It's very difficult.
You have to improv. Now, do you mind if I ask you about a couple of the tweets that Kevin has said since he's been on vacation? Would that be okay, Linus?
No, the other one. That's fine.
Okay. He tweeted that his plane to Cabo was delayed 4 hours. They had to replace the restroom on board. What's that about, Linus?
Apparently, Kevin and Bean Show, when he travels in style. And he went to a very high-end airline. And apparently, I don't know if you know this about Kevin and Bean Show, but he's enormously well-equipped. And he went into the bathroom, and apparently he was relieving himself, and the sheer weight of his unit just crashed through the bottom of the plane and put a giant hole in it.
Really?
It made it no longer aerodynamic. And so they had to come and weld a new panel in the place on the underneath of the plane because the enormous weight of his schlong just opened it up and just breached the hull.
That is a surprise.
Shocking.
You don't want to breach the hull. That's bad form, right?
And Kevin of Bean Show, it's such a weight on his shoulders having such an enormous penis.
It's weird. That's an unusual place for it to be on one's body.
It is.
All right. And then he tweeted something about Sting Break in Cabo with a DJ spinning. What's going on with Sting Break?
Sting Break, of course, you know, Kevin of Kevin Bean Show only hangs out with the most high-end celebrities. And so Sting and him, he and Sting were hanging out.
He meant literally Sting.
Yeah,
I see.
Sting. They were doing some calypso music on the beach, I believe. Sting was playing the lute And I believe Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show is playing the Glockenspiel.
I see, okay.
And they were performing together on the beach in Cabo San Lucas, and they just took a break because they had been playing and entertaining the orphans and the widows for so long that they just needed a break. So that's what Sting Break in Cabo means.
Okay. Hmm. And, of course, Kevin doesn't pre-read any of his tweets or even spell check or anything like that. So here's the last one I'll ask you about, Linus, and then I'll let you get back to work. Steve Soul Kiss came on, waiter spill, lead shots on me, sucking E, my own shirt.
Listen, Kevin at the Kevin DeBeach Show doesn't need to proofread his tweets before he tweets because he's always right. That's the one thing I've learned about him. He's always right. So whatever he says in that tweet is absolutely exactly what happened. So if you read again, Steve Soul Kiss came on. Steve, of course, meaning Steve Spielberg, who he hangs out with all the time.
Oh,
I
wow.
see. Okay.
Gave him a soul kiss.
A soul kiss, all right.
Yeah, which is a tongue kiss, of course.
Yeah.
So Steven Spielberg kissed him with tongue.
All right.
And came on to him. Steve, soul kiss came on. That's what
I
that
understand.
Means.
Okay.
Waiter spill lead shots on me. Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show is often drinking heavy metal. He'll have lead melted down and put into a shot glass, and he'll drink it because his constitution is so strong that he can take in steel and copper and different kinds of ores and just melt them down and drink them. So he was drinking some lead shots. And then what was the last part?
Sucking E, my own shirt.
Sucking E, my own shirt. I can't keep this up anymore. It's all, my life's just all a lie. He was drunk. He's just drunk.
He's just drunk? That's
he's
it?
He's just a drunkard. He's just a mean-spirited drunkard, and I okay. need a new it's a, job.
It's Linus. It's okay.
Linus.
Just get him back
he
to work on Monday.
He can't talk. He can't spell. He can't read.
Just get him back to work Monday, Linus. That's all we're asking. Oh, this is sad.
You take
all
him. Right. I don't want him.
All right. Thanks.
Plus, now is the perfect time to take advantage of excellent offers. For details, visit SoCalAcuraDealers.com. It's cool, man.
Isn't it cool?
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I'm the best.
I'm the best.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
Ralph is
I'm
here
the
now.
Best.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. On the Kevin Bean Show for a Friday, then Petros Papadakis joins us. What's going on, Ralph?
Someone asked him, why did he steal the Sports Center theme from ESPN? Someone sent me that in an email, and I didn't realize it, but he's got a good point there. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. That's the Sports Center theme. Oh, I'm the best. Speaking of the best, you know who the best is?
Who?
Patton Oswalt.
He is the best.
He's the funniest man I know. And he's a very nice man, and he is doing me a big favor by co-hosting Hollywood Babylon with me tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Theater up at Universal City Walk. 10 p.m. tomorrow night. It's me doing the usual Hollywood Babylon show, only this time it's going to be funny because Patton Oswalt will be sitting next to me being his hilarious self. So we'd love to have you come join us. You can go to thelovitz, LOVITZ.com to get your tickets and to get more information. But me and Patton Oswalt working together tomorrow night. Should
nice.
Be a good show. We'll be talking about this story a lot tomorrow night. It may be my favorite thing that's ever happened. Ever. Last night, porn star Kim Kardashian...
Yes?
...was attacked.
Ooh.
But in a good way, Lisa.
Okay.
This story doesn't turn dark. She was walking a red carpet outside West Hollywood's London Hotel when a woman approached her and pelted her with a plastic bag of white powder.
Yeah!
That powder turned out to be cooking flour. She was doused with it all over her hair, jacket, and pants. It was awesome.
You don't think I feel bad?
Not bad enough.
I imagine the woman was caught?
It doesn't say here whether she was or not.
I'd love to know her motivation.
I think she was, yeah.
It does not say here whether she was caught or not. It looked like a hit and run from the video that I saw. Kim said, this is probably the craziest, unexpected, weird thing that's ever happened to me. Like I said to my makeup artist, I wanted more powder, and that's a whole lot of translucent powder right there.
Oh, my God.
She should be a comedian.
She should be.
So funny.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know why, what the motivation was.
Everyone hates her.
Some were speculating it was because she wears fur, and maybe it was one of those kind of deals.
Well, she wasn't wearing any fur last night.
Yeah.
She was wearing spandex and a blazer.
It's impossible to guess why this particular person hated Kim Kardashian. That's true.
I think
everyone has their own reasons.
Anyone given right. If you had a chance to throw a flower bomb at Kim Kardashian, you take it. That's
you
all I know.
Yeah.
Well, if this woman was arrested, then I will be raising money for her defense.
Okay.
I promise you. I will be creating a defense fund for her. Because it was awesome. Because it's not dangerous. You're not hurting anybody. It's just a big bag of embarrassment. That's what she got poured all over her. It was great. Just white powder in her hair. And it's
her coming face to face with the fact that not everyone thinks she's awesome.
Yeah. Which is good news for all of us.
That woman's the best.
She's the best. Jennifer Lopez isn't the best.
No.
If you live next door to her, apparently she ticked off her neighbors recently when she requested that a helicopter land on some vacant property near her house to pick her and her boyfriend up for a date for a romantic getaway. Word is the landowner wasn't on board because of liability issues and denied the request, but she ignored him and just had the chopper come and land anyway and picked up her and her boyfriend and took them off.
Yeah, I don't think that's legal.
I don't think it is.
Them land anywhere.
You just can't land in a neighborhood. Jennifer, I think with her butt, you have to get like one of those cranes or something. You have to drop from the bottom of the helicopter. Like when they do the rescue services out at sea. You have to put the thing
put
around her waist to lift her up, like Project Elephant or whatever that movie was.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Operation Dumbo.
It's very close.
Project Elephant. My new reality show, by the way, Project Elephant. I hope you like checking out. And Rihanna has bad taste in men.
Yeah.
From Chris Brown now to her new boyfriend. Apparently, she's hooking up with, wait for it, Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, they're a new couple.
Huh.
She was over at his home at midnight last Wednesday and snuck out, according to the paparazzi who photographed her in a pair of denim hot pants at 4 a.m. yesterday morning. So she went in midnight Wednesday, came out yesterday morning, 4 a.m. That's an overnight stay. So
doesn't mean anything happened, though, right?
That's right. Maybe it was a professional meeting.
Right.
They were just getting together to talk about a project they were going to work on.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage? And PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, are upset with JWoww, Jennifer Farley, known as JWoww from the Jersey Shore, because she has dyed her dogs pink and purple.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Bella and Noelle, her dogs, have been dyed pink and purple.
Now, it doesn't hurt them, right?
No, it's a non-toxic dye. However, PETA released the following statement. Dyeing a companion animal's fur, by the way, they don't use pets, even though it's in their name. Pet. PETA. Dyeing a companion animal's fur causes the animal stress and can lead to complications or allergic reactions that can endanger the animal's health. Our dogs and cats love us regardless of how we look. Should we extend the same kindness to them? Yes. Yes, we should. Yeah. I'm sorry, PETA. But her dogs are pink and purple. It's pretty cool. I wish my dog was pink and purple. Still, he's just brown, boring brown dog.
Stupid dog.
Stupid dog. Today's celebrity birthday is Rick Ocasek from The Cars is 63 years old today. Chaka Khan is 59. Katherine Keener celebrates her 53rd birthday. Richard Grieco. He was Booker on 21 Jump Street. Got his own spin-off series called Booker. He's 47 years old. Damon Albarn of Blur celebrates his 44th birthday. Kerry Russell from Felicity fame turns 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Does that get the P thumbs up or the thumbs down that go to Ye song?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's all right. You didn't have to cut me off. I don't want to be cut off either.
No. Nothing at 2 o'clock in the morning at a bar.
From 21 Jump Street, Rob Riggle joins us later in the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, ladies and gentlemen, your old friend Petrus
Papadakis. What's cracking with y'all? How's everybody doing? Hey now.
Hey now. It's about to get loud in here. I'm warning you now.
Oh, come on. Why don't be that way? You know what? That's how we get started off on the wrong foot every time I come in here. It's going to get pretty lispy. It's going to get pretty loud. It's going to be pretty stupid.
He does take a shot the minute you get on the air.
Every time. The old shot across the bow. Just to let me know that I'm down here and Bean's way
early.
Up there.
No, it's just early, and I know that it's a tough voice to listen to at 7 in the morning. That's all I'm saying.
Listen to it again with another shot.
Shrill
right
and upsetting voice. Thank you.
Yes. Appreciate it. All right, listen. Drew Brees tweets the other day, I am speechless. Sean Payton is a great man, coach, and mentor. The best there is. I need to hear an explanation for this punishment. Maybe, P, you can explain to Mr. Brees why his coach is being suspended for a year without pay for the New Orleans Saints.
Well, this is what people are referring to as Bounty Gate.
Yes.
Bounties in the NFL. Basically, look, you go knock their quarterback out, we give you an extra G or whatever. Waving cash money, straight cash, homie.
Yep.
Right in front of these dudes. Now, this is a very complicated issue because when you look at the Saints situation or anybody's situation, I never played on a football team in my life. I mean, high school, at the higher levels of high school, and then at USC, where our goal wasn't to knock the opposing quarterback out of the game. If we knocked the opposing quarterback out of the game, we'd say, good job. Yeah, they'd put it up on a board, they'd write it down and say, good job, that dude didn't finish the game.
Right.
He got stretchered off. Yeah! You know, yeah. We get 1, 2, 3 Trojans. Fight on, everybody. I mean, that really is football. But it's illegal to verbalize that in the NFL and to offer money for it. It's illegal. You can't do it. So when you do it, and then you lie about doing it constantly, which they did,
yeah.
There's going to be a very severe penalty. And the NFL is in the business for the last 5 or 6 years of covering their ass.
Yeah.
They are worried about lawsuits. They don't want anybody coming after them for, hey, my head got knocked off in 1983 and you guys didn't do anything about
it. And there are a lot of those lawsuits happening, right?
Yes, there are. And it's not about protecting players. Anything they're doing is not about protecting players. It's about covering their own ass and still being the cash cow, the ridiculous cash cow that the NFL is. They're suspended because they verbalized it and then they lied about it. But it's really hard to say if these aren't bad guys. That's the point. The Saints aren't worse guys
No.
or bad guys compared to other teams in the NFL or anything like that. That's not the case here. What the Saints are is dumb for lying about it. Look, in football,
I think the cover-up with Goodell was worse than the actual crime. Look,
Anthony
right?
Weiner, Richard Nixon, I mean, anybody, this happens all the time. You get caught for something, you try to cover it up, and you only make it worse. And that is exactly what happened in this situation. But in football, it's like, look, I'm already trying to kill you. You already have to play with every ounce of anger and violence in your body. So, if you wave $1,000 in front of me, I don't know how I'm going to kill you any worse than we already yeah. are trying. You know what I mean? How can you screw up a rock fight?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Are you going to start running around in a rock fight and throwing rocks at people? Well, it's already happening.
The players are trying to knock the other guy out of
they
the game.
Already
but
are.
I don't think their intent is, and tell me if I'm wrong, Pete, but I don't think their intent is to give them a career-ending injury.
Well,
that's not what they're trying to do, or paralyze somebody.
No, that's a bonus if that happens.
Nobody wants anybody paralyzed. I can say that with all certainty. And that is the
but
truth.
Break a guy's leg, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, you know, look, it's a different thing. Now, I didn't play in the NFL, you know that. But I played in college. And in college, it's very different. You don't know that guy. You know, beer mugs on Washington's team, and I play for USC. If your leg falls off or your kneecap hits somebody in the head like a frisbee, I don't care. That's great. You know, we would try to. No one protects each other's legs in college. F you, die in a fire. I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That's college. I mean, that's college football. In the NFL, these guys are trying to stay in. They're trying to get another game check, and they all realize, hey, look, I'm 28 now. I have 3 kids or 12 kids or whatever it is, by 5 different women, stuff like that. I mean, that stuff exists. So when you have that and you kind of know each other, they do have a tendency physically, at least with their legs, to take care of each other in a better way in the NFL. No one's trying to hurt each other or maim each other, really, in the NFL. You just want
to win the game.
You just want to knock people silly and win the game. Yes, absolutely.
Right. However, yeah, I think there are because you sometimes see the same teams in your division several times
mm-hmm.
Seasons and then year after year, I think there's actual animosity and hatred between some teams and some players that
absolutely
you don't get in
right.
college. You don't get the passion because I know there are rivalries and things like that, but personal hatred, one-on-one hatred in the NFL, I think, is a lot more common.
There's going to be a lot of people that you hate. There's no question. There's going to be a lot of one-on-one hatred in a sport where, you know, a lot of guys are fueled by hate. I mean,
yeah,
let's be honest. But that being said, the prevailing feeling in the NFL, and this shocked me when my friends started going on to play in the NFL, especially when I was really young, is it's us against them. It's players. It's not like the Eagles and the Cowboys. I mean, it is, but really what it is, it's players
versus
and
management.
Administration. Yeah, I mean, it's players and management.
Yeah.
It's I need to get my money. I need to stay in this league. How do I get that done? Because everybody's got a clock tick, and it's not like any other business. I mean, it can be over like that. So,
but this bounty thing, that's been going on in the NFL forever. I remember when Buddy Ryan was the coach of the Eagles, and there was a big story in the paper. It was applauded how he was offering bonuses to players to take out certain players.
You guys could get, and since Ralph is here, Chuck Bednarik on, one of the great Eagles of all time, Mr. Iron Man.
Played both ways.
Used to have sex with Grace Kelly.
That's right.
Those are the rumors. Yeah. And you could get him on the phone if he's still alive. I think he is. You can get Chuck on the phone, and he would laugh at you for 10 minutes just bringing this up. I mean, there is a school of thought in the world of football that this is completely ridiculous, that all of this is much ado about nothing. But it's 2012. We do a lot of things that are kind of ridiculous, and we're very sensitive in society.
Yeah.
This is still football. The thing is it is against the rules, and when you're asked about it, you lie about it, you're going to get in trouble. Sean Payton is a pretty chappy guy. I mean, he is a hard ass. I mean, this guy's got giant cantaloupe balls. He's the guy that called he's the guy that called that onside kick in 2009 in the second half of the Super Bowl. I mean, who does stuff like that? I mean, he is a great coach, but you can't do this, and nobody's bigger than the commissioner, and he wants to let you know that. This Roger Goodell guy, you know, he thinks
it's a
he's
message
really
to everybody
he
else
thinks
in the
he's right. a hardcore. Yeah, he wears those whole cans and tries to, like, you know, knock everybody out.
And you guys have mentioned, both Ralph and Petros have mentioned that the lying is what really escalated this for the Saints.
Yeah, but if you're a liar to the people, you're going to get in trouble.
But the exact same thing is going on in all the other teams, right?
Well,
the Saints
I
are
mean,
not exceptional.
You know, well, the exact same thing is there a paper trail? No.
No, no, no. I mean, in terms of the bounties. In terms
well,
of the bounties.
I mean,
they're going on in all the teams.
It
right?
really, I don't know. I mean, you know, do they have a pay structure? No, I'm not sure. But look, every football team I've always been on has rewarded people for knocking other guys out of the game. Especially the opposing quarterback.
What did you think? You play the
commissioner. Get a little skull and crossbones for your helmet, you know? Like, yeah!
You play the commissioner
like
for, just,
Bell.
For just a minute here. Appropriate, the sentence that was handed down, suspending all those people and taking away the draft picks and the fines and everything?
Doesn't happen in a vacuum, Bean. I mean, you know, I mean, it's the world, and there are people that like each other and don't like each other. So if you piss your boss off and try to thumb your nose at him, he's going to make it worse.
I just want to know if, as a sports authority, do you think this was the appropriate punishment to mete out to the Saints?
I think Peyton should appeal and get a half a season as opposed to a whole season, and I think Williams should just get the defensive coordinator that was into it. He should just get one season and then come back. But, you know, look, it's like the USC thing. I mean, did USC deserve the sanctions they got from the NCAA? No, they didn't deserve it, but they acted hard. Pete Carroll acted arrogant. Mike Garrett acted arrogant with the NCAA, and they got slapped because of the arrogance. And that's actually very similar to this situation. If they want you, if they catch you doing something, they want you to come to them hat in hand and beg and plead and say, I'm really sorry. You know, like
we've
remember
been there,
the time,
haven't we, Ralph?
Remember the time, the video with Magic Johnson and Michael Jackson? And, do you remember that? And Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
How you had to, like, you know,
bow to the Pharaoh.
Bow to the Pharaoh or the Sultan or whatever, the Shah or whatever that guy was.
Right.
Well, you know, that's what the NFL or college football wants if you make a mistake. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, get your hat in your hand, get on your knees and beg. And
all right, last
they wouldn't
last
give
question.
You that bad of a penalty.
Last question on this topic, and then we got to take a break.
I've
and
been excellent
with some
on this topic,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah,
that's why
we
asked you. That's why we invited you
in. My voice wasn't too shrill or lispy for you to understand, Beam.
What is Jeremy Shockey's life now if he's really the guy who was the whistleblower on this?
He's not. He's not.
You don't think so?
No. One whistleblower? I mean, we're talking about an organization that's been doing this stuff for a while.
Didn't
and
say
we're
they had 8,000 pages of documentation
guys
or something?
Guys coming and going, bitter guys that got cut. Yes, that guy. Question, he got released. Of course, I'm going to tell you the truth. Jeremy Shock, look, Warren Sapp is this completely irresponsible for Warren Sapp with his crazy eyes from the NFL Network.
QB killer.
Oh, jeez. I played football with a guy that got a Grim Reaper holding a shotgun tattooed on his arm, and it said QB killer in Old English. I was like, really? I was like, you know, I got some bad tattoos, but that one is bad. I mean, really? I mean, how much longer are you going to be killing QBs? I mean, how much longer? We can only do this for a few more years, and then you're going to have QB killer on you forever. Anyway, but,
Petrus,
but yeah,
we got to take a break.
Irresponsible. You can't do that unless you have it double-sourced and you're willing to sit down and really say it or actually shape the message. The guy's supposed to be an analyst. It's ridiculous and a joke that he called out Shockey that way.
Petros Papadakis in studio with us on the Kevin Bean Show, of course, from the very famous and popular Petros and Money Show, petrosandmoney.com, or catch him in the afternoons on AM 570. Yes. We'll be right back on the Kevin Bean Show. One of you to Russia to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Grandpa's
joy for that is happening in
Dos
the 9
o'clock hours.
today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Petros Papadakis in studio with us. Rob Riggle in minutes, who, by the way, is a big Kansas Jayhawks fan, so he's excited. He's still got a team to root for in the tournament.
Rock chalk.
Hey, P, real quick, let's just do some quick hits here because we don't have very
real
much time.
Quick, The Bachelor. Could you believe what happened at the end of that?
No, dude. Cut
don't
your
have
hair,
time.
Ben. Cut your
well,
freaking
ben
hair.
Ben and Courtney do not
and
belong
he picked
together.
That succubus with those thin, weird, contorting lips.
I know. The buck teeth. Some
she
model.
Looks, she looks good. Though.
Yeah, she looked good.
Tim
yeah,
Tebow. Good. What? Evil. New York Jets. Oh. Go.
That's my Tim Tebow. Now, here's my Tim Tebow imitation.
Okay.
Like a Cocker Spaniel smiling at you. Can we tend the rabbits?
Is that a is that a good fit, P, those two together?
Nah, look, I mean, it's an explosive situation. I mean, what kind of value does Tim Tebow have? I mean, Mark Sanchez, they just made a bit of a commitment to, gave him an extension, and he has a new offensive coordinator there. So they can do some stuff with Tim Tebow that's probably creative. The problem
it's
is
for the
this.
Wildcat, right? It's just for
well,
this.
But Tim Tebow wants to start at quarterback. Yeah. And all the Tim Tebow weirdos, and they're out there, they want him to start at quarterback. I mean, look, the truth is, guys, Tim Tebow's an under 50% passer in the NFL. No one can survive in a career doing that. I don't care how
much
you love
God. He's reinventing the position, man.
No, he's not. No. Yeah. It can't happen. I know he's swole and good-looking and all that, but it's not going to happen. I mean, he can play football. You can use him in certain ways, but he can't be your starting quarterback. He just can't. Last year, what happened was an anomaly.
Were you surprised that they welcomed a quarterback controversy, like they signed up for a controversy?
To be honest, I am. I mean, we talked to Mark Sanchez the day before it happened, and now no one's going to get to talk to him for months. Yeah. And we asked him, you know, hey, what would it be like to play with Tim Tebow? Oh, great, you know.
The more the merrier.
Well, now you have to, you know. And the problem is, Mark Sanchez is going to go out there. It's a tough town, and he's been maligned. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year. He's going to throw a couple incomplete passes. What's going to happen?
The minute he struggles.
They're going to start screaming for Tim Tebow. Really, in all honesty, the best thing that could happen to Mark Sanchez is he gets hurt for like 5 games. Tebow goes out there and starts, craps all over everywhere because that's probably what he'll do.
Right.
And then Sanchito can come back as the conquering Pancho Villa and be the champion again of the Jets or the Jetes. And that's how it should happen, hopefully. I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but it's not a great – you're inviting a bad situation.
Pat Robertson of the 700 Club said since Denver got rid of Tebow, it would serve them right if God got Peyton Manning hurt during a game.
Did he really say that?
It was a thinly veiled sort of threat from God saying
I think Tim Tebow is a nice guy. I think he stands for good things. I mean, you can't really go against that. And and I have nothing. I met him when he was being recruited by USC when he was 17 years old. I mean, I've known about and known who Tim Tebow is for a very long time. And it's not like it's some Cinderella story. I mean, the guy is the most decorated college football player of all time. But he's not. He doesn't know when and where to throw the football at a consistent enough basis to be an NFL quarterback. And that's just – and if he wins another 8 or 9 games as a starter, I mean, I'll come in here and I'll do the beer mug workout and I'll try to lose 45
yeah.
minutes. But I don't – you know, it's just – you're not going to find a lot of analysis that says that he's anything than what he is, which is – a 1-4 quarterback at the end of the season last year. And the throw he made to beat Pittsburgh, it was great.
Yes.
But it's not a throw that every other quarterback in the NFL could not make. I mean, they all should be able to make that throw. I've never seen Tebow make a throw where it's like, whoa, look at that throw from Tebow. No, that never happens because his arms are too swole to throw the ball. I mean, he hits himself over the head with his tricep every time he tries to throw it.
All right, listen, let's say we have 60 seconds left here, Pete. We have 60 seconds left.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, because time always goes fast when our friend Petros is here in studio.
That's right.
Clippers fans, very frustrated right now. Gotta change sports for a second. Lakers fans, very frustrated right now.
What's going on
with these?
They're on a roll.
They're both flawed teams. I mean, yeah, let's be honest.
This
I mean,
Sessions is making a difference. For
Raymond Sessions? Well, he's 1-for-7 in Utah the other night. I mean, but yeah, he is. But does Kobe want to play with a guy that needs the ball? I mean, Kobe's pretty different. Every night, you know, he might take 40 shots one night. You know, he might, if he gets criticized too much, he might start passing. I mean, Kobe's got rabbit ears. I mean, he hears what everybody says.
Yep.
And some nights, you know, I mean, Kobe's weird to play with. And this is a guy that needs the ball to be successful. Well, Kobe wants the ball at all times. So it makes it for an interesting situation that we're going to have to watch develop, in my opinion.
And they've traded away a bunch of his friends that he likes playing with, too.
Who, Kobe?
Yeah.
What, Lamar Odom?
Yeah. Well,
that mental midget.
Derek Fisher. I mean, guys.
Oh, yeah, he was really doing well. Two cinder blocks for feet.
I'm not saying he was, but I'm just saying the teams that have won with the Lakers, you know, the other players that Kobe has had by his side now, a lot of them are gone.
I would venture to say that Kobe understands the business of basketball and people coming and going, but yeah, everybody has to cater to him at all times and make sure that he's happy and okay and all that.
And what's going on with your clips, man? It's no longer
coach,
hit the clip.
Yeah, the coach is like Willie Loman right now. It's a bad scene. Yeah, it's a... Yeah, not good. You know, in the world of basketball, it's not like this in football, you know. In my world, even today, no one cares if I'm unhappy. I mean, no one cares. I work for Fox, I work for Clear Channel, I work for Comcast, I work for all these different people. And whenever, no one cares. I'm unhappy! Nobody cares.
No.
And nobody cares on a football team if I was unhappy. But in basketball, all of a sudden, oh, you're 6'8", you can jump 40 inches, and you're all well endowed downstairs, and I'm unhappy, and everybody's got to scurry like the lights just came on, and there's a bunch of cockroaches eating a Big Mac on the floor. I mean, and once he's got, I'm unhappy, I don't like that. Oh, we better fire the coach. We better get that guy out of here. I mean, unfortunately, that is the world of the NBA, and that seems to be what's going on with the Clippers. They're not happy.
He's lost the locker room.
Yes, they're not happy with their coach. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, not happy.
That's a taste of what you get when you tune into the Petros and Money Show weekday afternoons on AM 570.
We're not
KLAC.
On today.
What?
But not today. We're not on today. I got basketball fever, man.
Oh, that's right.
We're going
Petros
to Hooters.
And Money.
Matt
is
not
going to
be drinking beers and eating Daytonas.
Sweet.
And PetrosandMoney.com is the website. You're the best, P-Man. Thanks for coming in, dude.
Extra Ranch!
Yeah! I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
That's just in case any listeners were able to get that out of their head from the last time we played it last hour. I want to make sure that one's stuck in there.
You're a bastard.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. A lot of shows still to come. Funny man Jimmy Pardo is going to be joining us in studio in just a few minutes. Also, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine on the way. And we'll talk to DJ Omar Khan, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who had a baby this week.
Yes.
Which explains why he hasn't been showing up for work the last couple of days. First, though, how about the biggest movie star in the world, ladies and gentlemen? Rob Riggle joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Look, awesome.
I've never been able to say that before, Rob, but I've rarely do we get a chance to talk to somebody who has, what, two movies in the top two this week? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, number one and number two this week. Pretty good week.
Come on, with 21 Jump Street and The Lorax. Look, you do the work, and sometimes you have no idea when it's going to come out. It's just a happy coincidence, but you must feel pretty good about that, right?
Yeah. I think both movies are really good. I think I'm kind of lucky because it covers the spectrum. I mean, my kids go to see The Lorax, and all my friends go see 21 Jump Street, so it's a good deal.
Exactly. This 21 Jump Street, by the way, I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I love Jonah, and Channing is starting to grow on me. I didn't used to be a big Channing fan, but he turns out to be a really funny dude, we're finding out.
Totally.
This is like the funniest movie of the year. I mean, people are just raving about this thing.
Oh, well, thank you. And you're right about Channing. Channing is, I didn't meet him until this movie, but Channing is a quality dude. And he is a very funny guy. I hope he does more comedies because he kills it in this movie.
I agree. So a guy like you, Rob, I mean, you just pick and choose and go wherever you want. Do you go periods of time where you don't work at all? You take some time off and then you work like a crazy man for 6 months at a time? Mm-hmm. Or what's your schedule like?
No, I'm one of these. I'm like every other actor. I'm manic and narcissistic, and if I'm not working, I'm panicking.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to work as much as I can. If I'm not working, I'm auditioning. If I'm not auditioning, I'm writing. I'm doing stand up. I'm doing whatever I can to be out there working. Because I got a wife and kids, and I'm old school. I got to provide. Yeah. I don't want to be a slacker. So,
if you have a down minute that you're not in front of a camera, you call up Funny or Die and you say, "Hey, give me some of that."
That's right. Yeah, I'm very lucky. I know a lot of the guys at Funny or Die, and if we do have downtime, I'm always game for going over and doing whatever they got.
Do most people still know you from The Daily Show? Is that where you get recognized from the most from your time on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably the most recognizable thing that I've done. But you never know. I've had random things. People come up and say the most bizarre things. I've had people come up and say, "Oh man, I love that Budweiser commercial you did." Like, really? Okay. Compliment. I love it. I appreciate it. But I've done some other stuff too.
It all adds up. Now, every time somebody talks about you, even when they just give like the two-line bio on you, they always mention that you're still in the reserves with the Marine Corps. Is that, I mean, is that something that you still have to go do like a weekend a month or something like that? How active are you in the Corps still?
Well, I'm still in the reserves, so I do owe them time every year. Now, I'm not part of an actual reserve unit. I'm more of what's called an IMA, Individual Mobilization Augmentee. Love the military and their acronyms.
No kidding.
So at the end of the day, I owe them 38 days a year minimum. And provided I get those days done, I get what's called a good year, or a SAT year, a satisfactory year.
Right.
And,
but you're not in a group that can be like mobilized or anything like that in the event of a riot. I mean, when would they actually use you? When could they press you into service if they wanted to?
Anytime really? They wanted.
So you literally could be filming a scene with Johnny Depp or something, and then the phone rings and they go, "Hey, dude, we need you in Afghanistan, stat."
They could. Now, the odds of that happening were very slim.
Right.
But technically, sure, that could happen.
And that would be bad news for we civilians who want this country protected, right? Are you not? You're probably not the guy we want out there, really, as the last line of defense, right?
You could do worse, but yeah.
Why do you stay in? Is it something you just have been doing for so long that you have love for the guys, or you just, is there something about it that still appeals to you that you love?
It's a combination of things. It's not just one thing. It's one of it is my doomsday mentality, which just says that I'm never going to work again in Hollywood, and I need a fallback job so I could provide for my family if need be.
Right.
Another thing is that I love this country and I want to serve this country. There's that. There's the fact that I love the Marine Corps. I love the guys in it. I'm now for 22 years. It'll be weird for me to leave.
Yeah, nothing. Hey, look, nothing wrong with that. And thank you for your service with all sincerity, man. I appreciate that there are guys like you who are willing to stand up and do the work. That's awesome. Give me a story about Ice Cube. Did you know him before 21 Jump Street? Was that bizarre, realizing he was in your world?
I did not know Mr. Cube, as we call him. I did not know Cube before 21 Jump Street. And when we were on 21 Jump Street, I didn't actually get to film any scenes with him.
Yeah, because you're in the high school, right?
That's right. So, but when we went on the press tour, I got to spend a week with him. And really cool dude, really nice. Just really fun to be around. I was happy about the whole thing. It was good. Yeah, he's a good dude.
You know, we had a similar experience. Of course, we met Ice Cube many, many years ago on this show when he was still not that far removed from being the badass rapper in NWA. So he was very intimidating back then. I think some of that has dissipated a little bit after a few years of Are We There Yet, you know? So, but back then, I mean, you felt like if you say the wrong thing about Mr. Cube, he was going to, you know, shoot you or something. Now he's just like the sweetest, nicest little teddy bear in the world. You can't even believe it's the same dude that you see in those old videos now.
Those are your words, not mine. I didn't say
yeah.
Teddy bear, Mr. Cube.
Yeah, you are smart not to piggyback on that. Well, it's a hell of a box office right now. 21 Jump Street currently in theaters. Please go see that, and of course The Lorax. And I'm just going to go ahead and say you're in The Hunger Games too, just for the clean sweep. You can follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Riggle, and the website is robriggle.com. Great to meet you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Crenshaw, a couple of cars are blocking lanes, and if you're traveling on the North 405 before Jefferson, left lane is blocked with a stalled vehicle, so watch for delays.
Hey, Acura drivers, flip on those washers. See streaks? Well, just roll into Center Acura and let a technician replace your wiper blades. It's free, and it's how they stay centered on you. And at Center Acura, appointments are never necessary. Offer expires February 29th.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Oh, your voice got weird there for a minute.
That's right, Cha-Cha.
You got to do it a certain way. They're very demanding. At
look at those streaks, huh? What's up with those wiper blades?
Huh? Let me tell you something about Jimmy Pardo, Ralph Garman. Never not funny, this guy.
Love the Pardo.
Never not funny. He's joining us right after the top of the hour, coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First load time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Well, it's official. We now know what killed Whitney Houston. Accidental drowning, according to the coroner's report. Possibly a heart attack, but more likely an accidental drowning.
Well, how do you accidentally drown in a bathtub?
Apparently, the combination of drugs she had in her system was enough to have her nod out after a drink or two and just slip below the water level.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Coroner found traces of cocaine, marijuana, Xanax, Flexeril, and Benadryl in her system.
Stop smoking crack!
No crack.
But no crack. Interesting.
Crack, crack is whack. She's always said crack is whack, and she was a woman of her word.
Now, let me ask you this question about this, Ralph.
You go.
Because I assume there's insurance money on the line here. If it's ruled an accidental death, even if it's as a result of your heart giving out because of cocaine use, I imagine that's a payout, right?
Yes.
Wow. Sweet. Sweet for Bobby
Christina. Here's the thing. The amount of drugs in her system were trace amounts. It wasn't in excessive qualities, not nearly enough to cause an overdose or, they believe, a heart attack because of the drug use.
So had she not been in the tub, she would not have died.
That's what they're saying. Look, there was evidence of heart damage. So they're saying potentially it could have been a heart attack, which caused her to pass out and then go under the water. But the final cause of death was the drowning. So even if it was just a heart attack, yeah, there would still be a payout in terms of insurance, if that's your question, Bean.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
No foul play, no trauma, and there was evidence of heart disease in the heart besides the drug use. So if she did have a heart attack, it could have been because of the heart disease as well. But the drowning seems to be the final culprit in her death.
Does
really
anybody
sad.
Have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
Well... Whitney could have helped you, but not anymore. Alyssa Milano, she's got a new TV gig. It's an ABC series called Mistresses. This is my kind of show. Alyssa Milano playing a mistress.
Yeah, tell me more.
It's about four women who are all hanging out with various married men and the problems that they face. It's based on a British show, which was a wild success in the UK, and so they're bringing it to America.
It does sound interesting.
It does sound interesting. I'd like to
love
see
it.
Four sexy women having sex with married men. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
More TV news and casting news. Jennifer Beals is going to have a new series for CBS with John Corbett, who was in Sex and the City. And Northern Exposure, I guess, was his first
loved
big
him.
Break. Yeah.
Parenthood. Got a regular role on Parenthood.
Yeah. It's this isn't going to be good.
Really?
Or if it is, they need to change the title. It's a show about a cop who loses three partners and becomes a surrogate husband, lover, and father to their families.
Oh, man. And I bet they don't know about each other.
I'm not sure if they do or not, but it's called Widow Detective. That's got to be a work in progress,
that's
right?
Terrible.
Not real.
Widow Detective.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm Colton McCann. I'm the Widow Detective. Ba-bum-bum, ba-bum. So he will play the Widow Detective. That's silly.
It sounds like a show they would make up to parody on 30 Rock.
That's right, yes.
I don't even know what that is.
Sorry, Lemon, we have to change your schedule because we have our new show, Widow Detective.
Comes out right after MILF Island.
That's right. tomorrow night, Saturday night, come see me and comedian Patton Oswalt doing Hollywood Babylon. We do it up at the Lovitz every Saturday, usually with Kevin Smith, but he's out of town this week promoting his new book, Tough S. By the way, if you haven't picked up that book, it's very funny. You want to check it out. But it's me and Patton tomorrow night at 10 o'clock at the Lovitz. It's up on City Walk at Universal. Go to thelovitz.com for details and to buy your tickets. We'd love to have you come out. Because Patton,
I have a
funny clip
of that podcast for tomorrow night if you'd like to hear it, Rob.
From my podcast, Hollywood Babylon?
I do. I have a clip.
Oh, wow.
I'm the best. Yeah. I'm the best. I'm the best.
Yeah, that's Patton doing the mad beats in the background.
Like we should mention, too, you know, the Mad Men season premiere is this Sunday.
Sunday
night. 2 hours.
And while we're talking television, tonight is Fringe, people. Listen, watch Fringe.
Fringe is back?
Watch Fringe. Yes, Fringe is back. Go just watch it live. Don't even DVR it. Live. We need Fringe to stay on the air. I'm demanding it. I can't live without Fringe. It's been so good this season. Oh, I love me some Peter. That Joshua Jackson.
Woo!
He is for real. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Rick Ocasek is 63 years old today. Chaka Khan celebrates her 59th birthday. Catherine Keener is 53. Richard Grieco, Booker, he is 47 years old. Damien Albarn of Blur is 44 years old. And Felicity's Carrie Russell is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
In case you're wondering what you're doing, you're listening to K-Rock as it streams over the internet. It's a miracle.
Hey, Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
Hey,
come
how are
on
you?
With the come on.
You know what happened there is I'm.
What are you doing?
My headphones were off. And even though I was just explaining to me how to use them, and I'm in fake radio doing a podcast, I'm standing there going, how come everybody's talking? We're all just going to stare at each other? This is really awkward. Where did the music even disappeared. But I was comfortable with it.
This is a little looser than I'm used to dealing with.
I
guess somebody will give me a little signal or something. And then all of a sudden, I saw the panic on all your faces, and it was like, oh, I'm an a-hole. All right, so I'm not the brightest morning.
We like to let the records breathe a little bit. Like to make sure you've heard every last note before we jump in.
Let's dig deep into some of those tracks.
Jimmy Pardo is, well, how do people best know you from your years on the Conan O'Brien show? I would imagine it's probably where you're most recognizable, right?
I've done a zillion television programs. I would say that, I do these things called the Pardo Patrol on the Conan O'Brien website, Team Coco, where I ambush stars in their dressing room and interview them for 5 minutes, and then we whittle it down to 2.5 because that goes viral. And so that's basically it, probably from Conan O'Brien. Long
would
answer.
Would you mind? I know we have a lot of things to talk to you about, but yeah. because you mentioned the backstage thing, would you mind if I played a clip, 45 seconds or so, of you with John Hamm recently backstage? Because
please do
I
so.
Thought this was. And let's just say a word about Mr. Hamm before we hear the clip. Is there a better improv guy in show business than John Hamm?
Well, I like to think I am.
Present company excluded,
but I'm not really in show business. John, I mean, it's fascinating to me on how, we know him as Don Draper. And, I knew him when he was just a guy hanging out at Largo here in Hollywood and, having a couple of cocktails and enjoying his night.
Yeah.
So I've known John a long time. And, not to answer your question, not a funnier man. And sweet Jesus, nothing more handsome.
Couldn't be better looking.
It's a shocking combination.
Stop it.
I know.
He comes in with that face.
And then he's nice and he's funny.
I know. You want to take a baseball bat to him.
I kind of hate him.
It's ridiculous. I know he's a frequent guest on your podcast, too.
Yes, he is.
Always very funny. But I think once he started doing Saturday Night Live all the time, and then, of course, his recurring role on 30 Rock, I think people are realizing that there's nothing this guy can't do. But here you are backstage with, I think, a great Hollywood pitch for John Hamm. Yeah.
I just read in the trades that Christian Bale, this is his last Batman movie.
You and I,
we pitch ourselves to Warner Brothers. We're here on the lot as Batman and Robin. Your thoughts?
Not the worst idea I ever heard.
You physically were right for it.
We are right for it, right? I'm Batman, you're Robin. You didn't see it going that way?
Traditionally, and I guess, again, we can play against type as much as you want, but traditionally, Batman and Robin are a little taller. One's taller than the other, and I'm significantly taller and broader and larger than you.
You so. Have to know what you just said is hurtful. You have to know that.
I can't be.
While you were stating fact, it's still a little hurtful.
You have so many other things going on.
Give me an example.
Your advancing age gives you a lot more experience. Wisdom. Think about wisdom.
I like that you're spinning this positively, but again,
receding hairline, more face.
Again, negative. A negative thing. It is a negative thing.
There's so much that you have to offer.
And there's plenty more of that. You can see that on the Conan O'Brien
more
website.
And how brilliant is that? Receding hairline, more face. And again, these are all improvised. This is all, these part of patrol things I do. Nothing is planned. No pre-interview, no nothing. I just, I just bounce in and we just start talking. And so John was, like you said, it was all improvised.
But the word on you, and this is what's fascinating.
Here we go. What's the word on me?
That sets you apart from so many other working comedians these days is you're not a joke guy.
No,
is that rare?
I can't write a joke to save my life. I just get on stage and I try to, a great night is that I improvise the entire hour. Sometimes the audience doesn't want to play that much, and so then it'll be, I improvise less, and then if it's a really horrible crowd, they get to hear my act, and that's a nightmare.
Worst case scenario is to hear your act.
Yeah, worst case is we have a skeleton of an act to fall back on, and that is that's awful. And then I always feel bad for those people. They walk out, because, the act's not atrocious, but then I walk out, and they'll go, oh, that was great. I'm like, oh, you have no idea how that was just average at best.
I've not seen my best.
At all, I try to improvise as much as I can.
Jimmy, tell me about you. You strike me as a kid who never shut up. Was that the case with you?
I'm going to quote myself. That's hurtful. it's funny that you would ask that.
It's because of the speed at which you speak.
I speak very quickly.
It makes us think that you also speak a lot.
I think it comes into play that nobody listened to me at all when I was a kid, and so I felt I had to speak quickly to get my points in before they would interrupt me with what was probably a very boring comeback to me. Mm-hmm. So I try to zip it in quickly. But I was just telling my wife the other day about when I would get in trouble in school, it was always like, you're a good kid. You just don't know when to shut up. So apparently I did talk a lot, but I just remember talking quickly.
Yeah.
How old were you when you thought, hey, show business, that's where I'm headed?
I don't know, 4 or 5 months when my parents put me in pageants. You know, my sister and I would go to conference rooms all over the I don't know. I know I sang King of the Road in third grade. You remember that song by Roger Miller?
Roger Miller.
Classic. And, you know, I'm not the tallest guy now. I'm 5'4". So, in third grade, I had to be, 2'2"?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I had to stand on a school. They had to bring in a school desk for me to stand on so that the audience could see me while I sang King of the Road. Wow. And that's
that wasn't humiliating.
No, that's grade 8mm from when my dad breaks that out on holidays. Hey, want to see Jimmy sing that? No, nobody does. It's awful. We're wasting everybody's holiday.
I'm always fascinated, though, because, sometimes it's a light bulb moment where people go, oh, my God, I just saw this play or I just saw this movie or heard this song on the radio and I realized that was a thing. And then sometimes people just fall into it and it's not what they expected at all. They went to school for accounting, but somehow they ended up being the funny guy at the party.
Right.
How did you – what was your first showbiz gig?
I did all the nonsense. I did plays and stuff like that in grade school and high school. And I think I just – again, from being a short guy and not getting I did a one-man show here about 10 years ago, September 10th of 2001, and then we had to cancel the next night. I forget what happened.
It was probably your fault, though.
You blame me? You think, okay, I wanted to shut down my one-man show?
I think they saw that first night, and they said, that's it. This cannot stand. The time is now.
We cannot let America see this thing a second time. Shut it down. You got that right. I did a show. The show was called Attention Must Be Paid. It was basically what I kind of described, where I felt like nobody ever paid attention to me or listened to me as a kid. So I think I just wanted to get in show business I hate to say to be famous because that sounds
heard.
So, but to be heard.
Yeah.
To make somebody listen to you, goddammit.
Yeah, they're going to listen. They're going to listen. If I got to stand on stage for an hour and force them hostage style, they're going to listen to me. So I think that's really what it was. And then it just, I thought I was going to be a teen idol in 16 magazine. Mm-hmm. And then, had that, revelation that I'm, 5'4" and receding hairline. That's right, not on the
plenty
cover.
Of face. Plenty of face.
A lot of face to put on a pinup. Put that face in a locker. You don't want to see this hanging up at homeroom? Gorgeous.
How'd you meet Mr. Conan O'Brien?
You know what? I didn't meet him until the day before I started working at The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien.
What?
I knew Andy Richter a little bit. Not a lot. I certainly know him a lot better now, but I knew him a little bit. And when Conan made the move from New York to L.A., they needed a guy to go up and open the show. And they didn't want a standard warm-up guy. They didn't want the guy tossing out the T-shirts and the Snicker bars and having the sing-alongs and all that nonsense. And I wasn't interested in the job because that's what I thought it was. And they said, no, we just want you to go out and be funny. Just be you. And you're the only guy we're asking to do this gig. And I said no for about 20 minutes. And then Jeff Ross, the producer, gets on the phone and he goes, yeah, he's not interested. And then 2 seconds later, Conan came in and goes, what are you talking about? You're not interested. This is a dream gig. You do nothing. You just come out and be funny. And I went, all right, I'll try it. And then spent the entire 7 months we were there hoping to God I wouldn't be fired. And then
they were all fired.
Yeah, Jay Leno wanted his job back. And, American demands mediocrity. And they gave him his job back in the most ridiculous Hollywood move ever.
That must have been so weird for you to be on the inside of that.
It was. I read that book by Bill Carter that he wrote about the entire thing. And it was bizarre to be reading these chapters and stories and know that I was standing a foot from Jeff Zucker when that entire conversation happened.
Was it pretty accurate?
It was really accurate.
Really?
It was. The weirdest part was day one of when it all happened. I was just at home and I was getting ready to go to work. And I got an email saying, hey, look at TMZ. Something's going on. And it was TMZ breaking the news that Conan's out and Leno's in. And then I called up some writers at work and I said, hey, what's going on? They go, yeah, we just started watching TMZ too. This is news to us. And then so I zipped over and we got there. And then Conan called a meeting and said, it's all rumored. None of this is real. Business as usual. Let's do a great show. And then the next meeting was, hey, there might be something to this. And then the third meeting was, all right, here's what's happening. They want me to take, go on at midnight. And then the next day was, I'm not going to do it. And so to follow all that and be involved and just, like I told your producer before we came on the air, it was You get the job at the Tonight Show. You're going to be there for 16, 20 years.
If you want to.
Yes.
It's,
yes.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's
yours.
If Conan's there and he likes me, and it's the Tonight Show. Why wouldn't I want that gig now that I have it? And,
right. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to be there until I'm an old man, and then 7 months later, it's a punch in the balls. You know, I mean, it was unbelievable. So
it was shocking. I mean, yeah. Very rarely has anything been handled so badly by a television network than that was.
The worst thing ever. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
But
I mean, I don't know if it's the worst thing ever. That seems extreme. Probably worse things have happened in the world than that.
Your one-man show on September 10th comes to mind.
You heard
the
about
worst
it.
Thing ever.
I don't, man. Word got out of that quick.
But here's what I don't understand. And Jimmy Pardo is in studio here, and we'll tell you how you can see him on stage tonight, and we'll talk about a lot of other stuff with Jimmy. But I just have to ask this question. Why is there not more backlash even now against Jay Leno, who's clearly the villain in the piece? Why is his show still phenomenally successful in this country?
I'll say it. America demands mediocrity. I that could be the only thing. I think they just see him as this nice guy, and
they
then you know,
too. Yeah, and they don't blame him for that
at all. He did the interview with Oprah, and where he kind of looked like, you know, to America, he looked like the okay guy. He's in show business, you see him spinning it in his favor. But you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. I got a staff too. I mean, everybody's got to work. I don't want to get anybody out of work. I'm just trying to help people get jobs. And it's like, he's a good guy.
When Jimmy Kimmel went on at that 10 at 10 and put what I thought was going to be the final nail in the Leno coffin,
right?
It seemed like that just rolled off everyone's back, too. No, I thought, how many more times do people have to point this guy out and say, here's what's happening?
I'm with you. Listen, you're preaching to the choir here. You're not going to convince me. I think what happened was the young and hipper folk, you know, thought what Kimmel did was great. Mm-hmm. And I think the people that love Jay was like, why did he do that to our Jay? Why did he come out and make Jay look stupid?
Why are they picking on a nice man?
Exactly. He's just a good guy. I'm just a good guy. Trying to get guests on, promote their things. That is, yeah, of
come
course.
On. He's got a wife named Mavis. You can't be more American than that.
Mavis, you know, she does great charity work. And, you know, I haven't spent a nickel of my Tonight Show money. Oh, you're fascinating.
Jimmy Pardo in studio. Never Not Funny is the podcast. We'll talk about that. Also talk about his event tonight at the UCB Theater, which sounds awesome, by the way. Right. And I brought in some tape from a recent podcast where you disparage morning radio a great deal.
Oh,
I want to discuss
I
that with you, too. When we return with Jimmy Pardo after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin not included. Never Not Funny is the name of the podcast, which you have been doing since before there were iPods, maybe before there were computers. I think when your show started, you only could listen to it on seashells, right, Jimmy? It goes back that far?
It is back that far. You'd have to wander the beach hoping to find the right shell. You put it up, and then you got a lot of good content.
I mean, Gervais's podcast was the introduction for many of us to the world of podcasting. Mm-hmm. That was the that was the big breakthrough. His one, he was such a big name when he started a podcast, people noticed. But you preceded him by what, at least a year?
No, we didn't precede him. He had been doing his, which was the only reason I knew about a podcast as well.
Okay, all right. Gotcha.
Before that, there were a lot of tech ones, and so when a guy came to me, a guy named Matt Belknap, who is still my co-host and producer of the program, came to me and said, why don't we turn your live talk show that you do at the UCB into a podcast? And it was like, I didn't really know what that meant, but I said, okay. And then he came to my house and he set up a bunch of equipment, radio equipment, and I talked into it for a half hour, and it was great fun. And because it sounded good, it wasn't just me talking into the microphone on my computer, all these tech guys that listen to podcasts got on board, and it was a professional-sounding show. And as we talked off the air, my heroes were Steve and Gary out of Chicago, and I was really just trying to emulate them a little bit and just trying to do what I thought I liked listening to and what I thought other people would listen to, and people got on board, and we became really popular like right away because of that.
Yeah,
it's so weird to think about you're in your house at that time, mm-hmm. With your friend, just sitting around talking, not knowing whether there was going to be any audience for it. It's just weird.
That was the thing, is like you're just sitting there talking, and you guys know more than I do about radio. I mean, it's stand up, you get that immediate reaction. You know, I'm talking at my dining room and saying what I think are funny things and hoping people will like it. And then the emails started coming through and the subscriber numbers started going up, and people were listening to this thing. It was really, really interesting to be. There were other comics doing them, but I think I was the first like West Coast guy who from television that started doing one, and it really took off. And I knock on wood that people still seem to care about it a little bit.
Do you ever wake up and have nothing to say that day?
I don't know. You're talking to me for 12 minutes. You think that's possible?
No, I don't. Tell me what's happening tonight at the UCB Theater, because it sounds like it's something different to see on stage.
You know, it's a neat show. It's kind of a hybrid. I hate to use the word roast, but it's a hybrid of stand-up showcase and a roast. There's three writers on stage who really don't perform. They just write me jokes to say after each stand-up does their set. And the best way to describe it is almost like Billy Crystal at the Oscars, like when somebody's out there accepting an award or presenting, and he's backstage huddling with Bruce Valanche and his cronies. And then, you know, they come out, and he's got jokes to say that these guys wrote for him. And that's kind of what this is. While the performer is performing, these guys write me jokes based on what the comic just did. And then I come out and read these jokes off index cards, and some kill and some bomb. And then either way, I'm able to make those funny, and, you know.
And people get a chance to see how difficult it is to write comedy on demand.
It is. Right? You know, the people that we have doing this, even though I brag about how I improvise an hour on stage as a stand-up, I couldn't sit there and write these jokes like these guys do. I think there's a real skill to this. And to watch actual writers do their craft in front of, it's really a fascinating thing to witness.
Interesting.
Well, this is the UCB Theater down on Franklin Avenue. It's called The Writer's Room with Jimmy Pardo. Mm-hmm. It's at 7 o'clock tonight. And
that's
here's
right.
The best part, kids. Just $5.
That's it!
What a deal.
$5.
$5. It's insulting how cheap that is.
You can go to UCBTheater.com. Jimmy's podcast is called Never Not Funny. You don't tweet yourself, but your podcast does. Never Not Funny.
How do you know that? How do you know I don't tweet? And how do you know that's not me? But it's not. But I'm fascinated that you know that.
Because it's not. Because
nothing's funny on there.
Because you've got people.
I do have people.
Let me play a clip from the podcast. I don't remember which episode it was, but I thought this was very funny. And you're just winging it here. But talk about that hurts me. A little dig at morning radio guys. A little dig at the way I make my living. But here's Jimmy from the podcast.
Now, listen, that's how we start the show. Loose and Goose. 591-ROCK, 591-ROCK. Give us a call. Let us know what other words you'd like to rhyme. that's the premise today, right? We're doing rhyming words, guys. Give us a call, huh? Crunch and Munch. There's another choice. These are the type of things we're talking about. Right? Let's do this thing.
Are you hungry?
You know, somewhere there is a shitty morning team that thinks that's a good premise. Some producer brought it in.
Yeah.
And I'm not hungry, by the way. I'm a little snow troll. but, you know, hey, guys, we can do rhyming words today. I was thinking about that. That might be fun. Let's have the people call in on that. That'll be the 9 o'clock hour.
If there's ever, like, morning radio for, like, four-year-olds, that's the perfect.
You're very kind. No, that's real morning radio.
Yeah.
Go on the road. Go on the road and listen to radio in Ohio.
We've heard from so many comics that have to plug their, back in the pre-podcast days especially, that's part of being a comedian on the road, is you got to go into every town. You got to Indianapolis, you're up at 6 a.m. going to some guy's show to sell tickets for that week.
Yes.
And the stories that we hear from radio shows around the country, apparently that's not fun.
It's, first of all, I mean, it's common for you guys, but you know, to get up at 5 a.m. after you've done shows the night before.
Well, yeah, that's not your schedule.
It's not
at
our
all.
Schedule. And then you got to come in, and then when they try to shoehorn you into bits like that, Jimmy, you like candy bars, huh? What's your favorite? You like to go to a convenience? And then they feel, you know, to kill the time, they have to, you know, and you guys are, of course, brilliant at this, and you don't have to do these things, but, you know, some do in Dayton, Ohio, and it's like they have to paint that picture. You're walking to a 7-Eleven, and boy, you see that whole wall of candy, Jimmy. You got one choice. What is it? Yeah, just ask me what candy
now,
I like.
Make it funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Snicker. Why's that, Jim? Awful. Awful.
591-ROCK. 591-ROCK.
And you would know that. You know that phone number.
Yes. That's the loop. I think I've dialed that number.
That's the loop in Chicago, but I think it's so funny to use out of the podcast for no reason.
I do, too. We're going to steal the Munch and Crunch idea, words that rhyme. Hey, call us with words that rhyme. I think we're going to do that next week.
That's not a bad Friday.
Pretend that it was our idea, Jimmy. Oh, I can't believe we're almost out of time already. The podcast is called Never Not Funny. And the way this deal works, by the way, if you want to get a taste of Mr. Pardo's work, is you go to iTunes, you get yourself 20, 25 minutes for free every day. And then if you're so enthralled, you can't stand it not to hear the rest of the thing, you can also sign up as a paid subscription and get the whole thing, plus a lot of auto extras and video and everything like that.
And it's 76 cents a day is all it turns out. Or 76 cents a week. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's nothing.
That's a great
deal. It's a value.
It's nothing.
Tonight at the UCB Theater, Franklin Avenue, 5919 Franklin Avenue, the Writer's Room with Jimmy Pardo, 7 p.m., just $5. Get your tickets at UCBTheater.com, and give our best to Conan. A pleasure to meet you officially, dude. Thank
My
you so
pleasure.
Much for coming in. I hope we see you again. Thanks.
I look forward to it.
Someone wins a trip to Russia in about a half an hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Grand prize drawing to send someone to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Moscow. Still can't believe that's a good idea.
Zdravia!
Just feels like there's a good chance they might not come back.
Oh, come on. It's not like that anymore.
Bad things happen to Americans.
Now we're
there.
Allies.
Speaking of bad things happening, remember back,
Daddy Omar Khan.
Remember back when it was theoretical, we were all joking around about, oh, Omar's wife is pregnant. How funny is it going to be that he's going to have a human to take care of to keep alive and all that? Remember we were saying, it's all funny and blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's happened. Now the baby has been born. Now DJ Omar Khan, ladies and gentlemen, our friend Omar, longtime producer in the studio next to us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
DJ Omar Khan.
Is a father, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Omar.
What's happening, guys? How are you?
What's up?
We miss you, first of all. Don't ever do this again. Your wife is no... We're putting a one child per family limit on your household right now. You're not allowed to be gone anymore, okay?
I might have to check with her.
How's it feel, buddy?
It's awesome, man. It's awesome. It was a grueling, long ordeal. She was in labor for 33 hours.
Oh, that's all?
Jeez.
She is soft. Yeah, yeah. That is weak.
Yeah. No, dude, it's amazing. Yeah, Mia's amazing.
It was, your little girl's name is Mia. Give us the details, first of all. People are going to want to know.
Mia Rachel Kahn, she was born on March 21st at 2:42. She came out 5 pounds, 12 ounces, and she was 17 inches and 3/4 long.
Just like Dad.
Yeah.
5 pounds, 12 ounces. Now, she was a little bit early. Like, you weren't expecting the call that the time is now, right?
No, absolutely not. She was 3 weeks early, and I was on my way to work. It was about 4:45 or so, and I got the call that, because my water broke, so... Turned around, we went there, came to the hospital, and sure enough, once your water breaks and you lose all the fluid, they automatically check you in no matter what.
Yep.
And her contractions had not started yet, which is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I guess once your membrane ruptures prematurely, the labor goes on longer than, ordinary labor, and she wanted to do a natural childbirth.
Dumb.
Which,
why?
Just dumb.
This is the thing I don't understand.
Generally
why?
Better for the child and for the mom. Her recovery is so much faster.
Just go in and get it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, but either way, even if she would have, right off the bat, if she would have saved herself a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the 33 hours was going to be the 33 hours with pain meds or not. That was just the time it was going to take.
Yeah, you can't hurry it up.
Okay, since she was in labor for 33 hours, then you didn't really even need to take that first day off, right? So we're going to have to dock your pay for that day, Omar, because you didn't
that
even have to
true,
be there.
That is true. She drove herself to the hospital.
Was she just miserable laying in that bed waiting for this blessed event to happen?
No, being she was giddy. She was chuckling up a storm. She was having the time of her life. What is wrong with you with that question?
I'm just wondering, because on TV they're always like screaming at their husbands. They always hate their husbands so much for doing it to them.
No, I unlike you, I was a very supportive husband, and we actually went to Lamaze class, and
coaching.
I was coaching her, and she wasn't just like laying in bed for the entire 33 hours. She was up walking around, because the more you move during labor, the process speeds up.
So you should have had her do that. You should have her do that running in place thing the beer mug does to lose weight.
Oh, there you go.
By the way, did beer mug lose any weight this week?
Yes.
Surprisingly,
3 pounds.
3 pounds. Oh.
3 pounds.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats, mug.
Thanks, dude. Congrats.
Only 24 to go.
Yeah, only 24.
So,
Omar.
Thanks, dude.
You get your fingers crossed, obviously, and then once the baby comes, the baby is beautiful, the baby is healthy, then the terror strikes in. Now you realize I'm responsible for this child for the next 18 years, right?
Omar's gonna be a bad dad!
Stop your crying!
Yeah.
Just say that right away?
That's the first thing I said to her. I was cutting her umbilical cord, and I was like, stop her crying!
Good man.
Yeah.
Because if you don't put down the discipline right away, Omar, they will walk all over you in that first year.
Yeah, exactly. I got to show them who's boss.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
it was all good. And then actually, last night was the first kind of intense night. It was she was crying and she was fussing all night. But I mean, it felt so rewarding to change her, and then kind of figure out what was wrong. And then she laid in my arms and she.
Here's the headline: Tom Morello's Occupy South by Southwest shut down by cops. Why can't Tom just have a concert like everyone else, where people show up and they watch the music and then they go home happy? Why?
Because he's an artist who's trying to tell people about the world.
He's a passionate man.
Why does it always have to be? Why is it always pepper spray and rubber bullets and fire hoses and dogs and pulling the plug? What's going on with our man Tom?
Because the man is trying to keep him down.
Okay. All right.
And of all places, Austin, for God's sakes.
Yes.
A place, a seat of higher learning, a place of open-mindedness and artistic expression. They're coming down on our man, Tom Morello?
I would think that anything goes in Austin, but we will talk to Mr. Morello, one of our all-time favorite guests, joining us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Before I give you the beat, I want to give you a trip to Las Vegas. How about that? 3 days, 2 nights, trip to Vegas to celebrate the ultimate Tropicana transformation party.
happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Tropicana Hotel and Casino, April 17th through the 19th. Tropicana is celebrating, the transformation of their hotel and casino. They've redone it from top to bottom. Great, great place. I stayed there just recently. Last time I did Hollywood Babylon in Vegas, I stayed at the Tropicana. And the great restaurants. The casino was very, very good to me. There's a lot going on at the new Tropicana, and you're going to want to check it out at TROPLV.com for information. The Ultimate Transformation Relaunch Party is happening the 17th through the 19th. If you'd like to go, in honor of my favorite game, Blackjack, caller number 21 right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 21 gets the trip to go in April to the Ultimate Tropicana Transformation Party in Las Vegas. I'd like to know if, they throw the drummer some. I'm giving away these trips and everything. It'd be nice to know if I was invited to the Ultimate
No one's coming to you
party.
And saying, hey, why don't you join us, Ralph?
Doesn't say here in the prime paper, join Ralph for a wonderful weekend. No, my name is not mentioned anywhere
it
here in the
paperwork.
It seems
like the polite thing to do,
I would think.
We live in a polite society.
I'd like to think,
offer
Lisa.
Offer an invitation.
I'm not wearing a hoodie or anything. Did you see Geraldo Rivera today?
No. Yes.
But I know what that's about.
Yeah. He wants to outlaw hoodies.
Yeah.
Trayvon Martin had it coming because he was wearing a hoodie, and that made him look suspicious.
He wants the parents of all African-American and Hispanic kids to forbid them to wear hoodies.
That's
the answer.
Because hoodies, look, guns don't kill people, Lisa. Hoodies kill people. That's what we're finding out today. You're the best,
Geraldo. Plus, he was not just a hoodie. Remember, he was walking around with Skittles, and who knows how dangerous that could be.
Hey, you ever get pelted with a Skittle?
I never have.
Someone throws it hard enough between the eyes. Boom. Lights out. All right, let's have some good news, shall we? Todd Phillips said yesterday that Hangover 3 will be the last film in the Hangover sequel series.
Why didn't he say Hangover 2 would be the last film?
No. We're going to surprise a lot of people with the final chapter, he told Hollywood Reporter. It'll be a fitting conclusion to our three-part opera of mayhem, despair, and bad decisions. The film is currently scheduled to be out next Memorial Day weekend. 2013, circle your calendars, people. Hangover 3, 2013, Memorial Day weekend. Everybody's back for the sequel, so.
And this is because artistically there's so much more in that story that needs to be explored.
There are stories yet to be told.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that we're making this movie for all the right reasons.
Between the wolf pack. More bad movie news. Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase are going to do a new movie together.
Okay.
Why so soon? Hope it's Spies Like Us too.
That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be great.
Doctor.
Aykroyd announced the news on his Facebook page, saying, "The joy of working with him again is one that I'm extremely excited about. Chevy is one of my favorite people and one of the great
anachronistic?
No, that's what I thought it was initially, but it's anarchy. Anarchistic.
Okay. You don't hear that often.
You don't hear that. Dan Aykroyd's a smart dude. He stumped me there. Physically committed comedians in the business. So those two guys working together again. Does anybody care?
I don't know. I mean, no.
I don't think so. I think I love them both. I love Dan Aykroyd a lot and Chevy Chase a lot, but mostly for their past work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd's been a much better dramatic actor recently than he has been a comic actor, in my
Absolutely.
Opinion. Chevy Chase is great on Community, but a feature film? Look, I hope I'm happily surprised by the outcome.
Get some Bill Murray in there, maybe a little Harold Ramis, now you got some.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, sadly. John Hamm is the perfect boyfriend. Well, you don't have to tell me. Oh, he's so dreamy. Don't forget, Mad Men debuts this weekend. Sunday night, 2-hour season opener. Very exciting.
So excited.
He's gushing about his girlfriend, director Jennifer Westfeld. They did Friends with Kids together. We asked by Us Weekly Magazine if he had any trouble taking orders on the set from his girlfriend. He said, no, not whatsoever. I think the world of her. She's a lucky, lucky woman.
Oh, my gosh.
And Kristen Bell's letting us all down. Don Cheadle wants her to strip down like he did in the first episode of House of Lies. He wants her to do that in the show sometimes. You think that would be good for the show and good for ratings? And
it would be good for the show.
Sure, it would be good for the show, yeah.
She says no. She says, first of all, she's an old-fashioned girl, and secondly, the decision isn't up to her, but her fiancé, Dax Shepard. He gets to say whether she strips nude in front of the camera or not. Come on, Dax, do the right thing.
Sure.
By the way, haven't they been engaged for like 20 years now?
No, it's been...
It's been like 20 years.
Like 3.
Pull the trigger, Dax, or let her show her goods to us on television.
He's clearly not serious about the relationship.
No, he doesn't love you like we do, Kristen, so take off your clothes.
And by the way, Don Cheadle, Oscar winner, it's okay for him to take off his clothes. Kristen Bell, no.
That's how you get an Oscar.
Yes.
If she wants an Oscar, she better get naked.
This is wrong on every level.
On this show, in studio. Radio's the place to get naked.
That's going to get her the Oscar.
Radio's the place to get naked. That's all I'm saying. Let's say congratulations to our winner, Frank Mora from Upland. He's going to Las Vegas to celebrate the ultimate Tropicana transformation. And celebrity birthdays today. Rick Ocasek for The Cars is 63. Chaka Khan turns 59. Kerry Russell of Felicity is 36 years old. Damon Albarn of Blur and Gorillaz is 44 years old. Richard Grieco is 47. Catherine Keener is 53. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Heard me say it a thousand times. If you've heard me say it once, Lisa May, it's not a show until the police pull the plug on the PA. Am I right about
that's
that?
That's absolutely right.
That is certainly the one-man revolution's opinion. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. He is, of course, the Night Watchman. Joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show after a very exciting week, it sounds like, down in Austin, Texas. How are you, my friend?
I'm well. How are you both?
Oh, I can't believe you were a pinball, man. You were all over that town. You were everywhere doing stuff for South By this year.
Well, the Battle of South By Southwest had many fronts, and the Night Watchman had to be present on all of them.
So the concert that got all the press, where they pulled the police, you know, pulled the plug, the police showed up, you ended up in the street singing acoustic and everything. I mean, it kind of sounded like that was planned, like you knew ahead of time that was a possibility down there. What was going
on? Well, we didn't know that the police would pull the plug, but it was, it was the official Occupy South by Southwest Tom Morello showcase. And, playing with Wayne Kramer from the MC5 and some other friends. But the one thing that I misunderstood was that the only people that could get into the actual indoor showcase show at a place called the Swan Dive were badge holders, you know, people that have these badges that cost $800 or whatever. So I had already made plans with the local Austin, you know, Occupy Austin group, and we were going to have this show together. Then I realized, well, none of them could actually get into that. Right. So we schemed to have, it was basically two stages. There was the indoor stage and the outdoor stage where some friends' bands, including, you know, Anti-Flag and some local bands, a band called Outer National, performed early on. And then during my show and Wayne Kramer's show, we just draped a big sheet over the front of the building and projected the show onto it and had a PA outside. So the people outside, which were at this point were probably about 500 or 600 standing in the street, were able to watch the show on the wall. But then at the end of the show, I played. My role is the guitar shredding Pied Piper, and held my guitar aloft and led the entire audience inside the club, outside the club, to merge the two audiences. And then we played Woody Guthrie's "This Land Is Your Land," and of course, at this point now there's thousands of people in the street, and you know, which there are kind of anyway at South by Southwest, but the police found somehow this gathering of thousands of people too threatening, and they pulled the plug, which of course is my dream come true.
Of course, I'm so glad that you brought that up and you framed it the way you did, Tom, because what was their concern? What did they think is going to happen standing in the street singing a Woody Guthrie song?
It's a bunch of people singing a Woody Guthrie. You know, it's maybe at this point 3,500 people in the street singing a Woody Guthrie song, having a nice time, you know, pogoing. There's a bit of a mosh pit maybe, but for goodness sakes, like, what's wrong with that? Anyway, they decided that was just too much to bear. And so they pulled the plug on the show, which, of course, you know, while we weren't expecting, I was certainly prepared for. So I don't know if you're familiar at all with the Occupy Wall Street movement. We use a thing called the people's mic, you know, where you say mic check, and then the crowd basically repeats what you say so that everyone can hear it as a human PA system. And via that human PA system on the people's mic, we did the last song together. And actually, once the police pulled the plug, the show got a lot louder.
That's funny. That is funny.
It's pretty awesome.
Tom, you're one of those guys who has intertwined music and social revolution your entire career. And I bet there's nothing more satisfying and nothing that feels better than you standing there with thousands of people standing around singing these songs together. It has to feel at that point that it's almost magical. Music is so much more than entertainment at that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is, you know, my twin passions have always been, you know, activism and music. And you know, I didn't really choose to be a guitar player. That chose me. And so I'm kind of stuck doing that. And so, you know, it's always
That's too bad you suck at it.
it's always been my, you know, kind of a, I've always had to find a way to weave my convictions into my music. And on moments like that, it really feels like I'm doing what I was born to do. You know, because like South by Southwest, which is a super fun festival, had a great time there, had a great time playing with Bruce Springsteen, had a great time, you know, like doing my comic book, you know, selling of my comic book Orchid, all that stuff. But it's really been overrun by corporate sponsorships now, where it used to be a musical festival where you would discover new talent. Now it's like every corn chip and energy drink has a, you know, has a booth and a thing. And so I wanted to really do a show that was going to be for the people, was going to be absolutely free, was going to be on the streets of South by Southwest, and that's what I did.
I saw Tumblr. I saw a couple of Tumblrs of people who took pictures all over Austin of just ridiculous products that had nothing to do with anybody who would ever go to South by Southwest would be interested in these products. But the advertisers, the corporation, just go, oh, wait, there's a lot of people there. There must be a way to sell something to them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like hipster predators, you know, coming to...
Exactly. Hey, one more quick question on Occupy. And it was so interesting. When this news broke about the Occupy South by Southwest, I thought... Wow, I thought that movement was not dead, but certainly dying. It seems like most cities, Los Angeles included, they pretty much have stamped out the protests that used to be going on day after day after day. I mean, is that still alive out there?
Oh, they certainly haven't stamped out the protests. They were able to clear most of the park. You know, at one point there were as many as 2,500 occupied, you know, city hall steps and parks and things like that around the world. And for the most part, the police have removed the physical occupations, but the underlying sentiment and the movement that this gross economic inequality is a problem that needs to be addressed is as active as ever. You know, I look at it like the winter was kind of our Valley Forge, you know, and now we're in spring training. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting summertime here.
Do you think it has been effective so far beyond the headlines, beyond a lot of people saying, hey, what's up with these people? Do you think any change has happened as a result of the people speaking?
Well, one dramatic change that's happened is for the first time, you know, as a lifelong activist, for the first time in my entire life of demonstrating and protesting, the dirty five-letter word class has been plastered on the front of a presidential campaign. It's on the front of the New York Times every day. Like, the idea that economic inequality is a bad thing is on the lips of everybody right now because they're suffering from this horrible economy.
We're talking to our friend Tom Morello here on the Kevin and Bean Show about his week that he spent down in Austin for South by Southwest. You mentioned playing with the boss, and I know that you've done a number of appearances with him over the years. In fact, I think we talked to you within a couple of days of the first time you did it down in Anaheim, where you got out on stage and did the ghost with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that show you did in Austin, and then I saw you on Fallon, I guess. You were a member of the E Street Band. Yeah. There you were up there playing the E Street Shuffle and everything. How, I mean, are you still pinching yourself that that's real, that you guys are friends and musical buddies?
You gotta be kidding me, Matt. There is no crystal. Like, when I moved to California back in, like, 1986 with the Nebraska tape, you know, in my, you know, in my Chevy Astro van, I was moving out to go, you know, there was no crystal ball I could ever looked into that would have said, you know, one day you will be playing, you know, four songs on stage with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band at South by South. It's just, it is not really settled in. And I don't get nervous I don't get the least bit nervous when the police pull the plug on a show in the middle of the street. I get terrified whenever I play with Bruce Springsteen.
When you're on stage with the E Street Band, like on the Fallon show, how do you know what to play when Bruce is playing guitar, Nils is playing guitar, Steven's playing guitar? How do you even not make it sound like a mess?
Well, that's, you know, as much the sound man's job as anybody else. But, you know, the one thing that I've learned in my association with Mr. Springsteen is he's the only boss worth listening to. Like, whatever that guy tells me to play, I'm happy to play. That guy knows what he's doing.
You had Arcade Fire on that bill with you with Springsteen. Jimmy Cliff came out. That's one beautiful thing about when people
get together.
Yeah, it
wasn't they were on the bill. We were all on stage together.
On stage at the same time.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. Like, you know, I was actually my work. I thought my work for the day was done. I had played, you know, I played on the Bruce record, and I had played those two songs. I had done Ghost of Tom Joad. I was like, you know, I had played a simmering guitar solo. I was like pleased with myself. I was relaxing and enjoying some preparatory St. Paddy's Day work, you know, and standing at the side of the stage in my Willie Nelson T-shirt, just enjoying all of them playing Woody Guthrie's "This Land Is Your Land." When Bruce's wife Patty sort of motioned for me to come on stage, I'm like, "Oh, really? I couldn't. I've done enough." And then, so next thing you know, I'm standing, you know, with Bruce at the center of the stage on the mic, singing my favorite, the most radical Woody Guthrie verse of that song, thinking like, "What hath God wrought? Like, how did this happen to me?"
It's beautiful. NightWatchmanMusic.com is the website. You can follow Tom on Twitter, at Tom Morello. And, of course, as you mentioned, Orchid, which has just been blowing up. Issue number 5, I guess, is what we're up to available now. It's just been a huge hit for you, Tom, and that must be satisfying as well. You're the best, man. I put in the request when I saw what was going on in Austin. I said, we got to catch up with our boy, Tom. I'm so glad you came on. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks very much for
having me. Talk to you soon. Speaking of paradise...
Yeah.
Seriously, what's better than Moscow, Russia, right? Who's with me?
Oh, the best. The food? Are you kidding me?
The weather, oh my God, there's nothing better than Moscow, Russia.
Yes.
Talking hey, listen, about the I'm Red a Hot... vodka fan, so you can all bite me.
Yeah, there you go. Talking about going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Red Square, Moscow. Go ahead and dial up here, Beer Mug, right ahead of Ralph at the Showbiz Beat here on what the Kevin Bean Show.
What the, this is, but this is my segment. What the?
You are a communist, sir. That's what's going on. It's communism.
This could be real fast, but we're going to bring some good news to a lucky Kevin and Bean listener or K-Rock listener who has qualified throughout the week and is now eligible for the grand prize drawing. We promised it would be this hour. If Beer Mug could connect us, there we go.
Come back, Omar. Come back to work.
Dial the phone!
This is very exciting.
Hello?
Hey, Sarah Saunders?
Yes, this is she.
Sarah Saunders, like that's a real name. You sound like a superhero, secret identity.
It's, I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show calling. What up?
Oh, yay!
What are you cheering about? We're just calling to say hi.
Well, hey, because you're my favorite.
Oh, you're very sweet.
You were eligible, as you know, for winning the Staples Center tickets to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You were eligible for the grand prize drawing, which is happening right now. We are calling you to tell you you're going to Russia.
Are you kidding? Are you actually kidding me? You, oh, my God.
You yes. won. You won the trip.
This is, please stop that. This is round trip airfare for two, hotel for three nights, $500 spending cash, and tickets to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Red Square, Moscow this summer. You rule.
I rock. Oh, my God. I am so yes. excited. There I am. Oh, my God.
There you are, exactly.
Congratulations.
Get yourself a passport and have a great time, all right?
Oh, my gosh, what do I need to do?
We're going to call you back. We're going to call you back and give you all the details, Sarah. Thank you.
Pack up a lot of pairs of Levi's jeans. They like them over there. They'll trade Ooh. You vodka
oh,
for
yes.
them.
Black market. You got it.
Yes, yeah, black yeah, market. Exactly. Way to go. Not even in their country. You're already thinking about how you can break their laws. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
Ralph, I think I left you about 30 seconds for showbiz. Yeah.
She was happy.
She seemed happy. Pleased to go to Russia, yeah.
All right, real quick, showbiz news. Did we give away the tickets for Universal yet? Have we done that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that?
Okay. We've done that. We've Make done sure. the trip to Las Vegas. We've done the trip to Russia.
All the business is taken care of. All right, let's talk about the good stuff then. Like porn star Kim Kardashian being doused with flour on the red carpet last night. Oh,
that's the best.
Not flowers. We're not talking about flowers
no,
here. We're
flowers
talking about
and
flour.
Stuff you bake with to make a cake. That's an unidentified awesome. Woman came up and took a bag of flour and turned it over and doused Kim Kardashian, just covered head to toe in white flour. It was pretty spectacular. It was in her hair. It was on her jacket. My favorite part of the story, Kim Kardashian refused treatment when... when emergency workers greeted her off the red carpet. Did she? She refused the treatment to have her flour surgically
removed? Medically removed, yes.
To her credit, though, they dusted her off and she got back down there in the red carpet. It's either to her credit or the fact she won't take an effing hint.
Yeah, no kidding. Look, they don't want you there.
The woman, by the way, was detained on the scene but released.
Oh.
Afterwards. A non-criminal battery report was taken by the police. Kim's not pressing charges, so... The woman was released. If you are her or know her, we'd love to have her on the show and give her a hearty hand clasp and a pat on the back.
Absolutely.
My favorite part, I already told you my favorite part, my second favorite part of the story is the tweet that her sister Khloe Kardashian wrote after the incident.
Oh, tell me.
I wish I was with my sister tonight. I bet you that woman wouldn't have dared try a thing.
Well, no, not with a 9-foot Yeti standing next to her. She wouldn't
stomp
have.
On her.
Exactly. Oh, you wouldn't, if Godzilla was in the room, you wouldn't attack Tokyo either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, good times. Good times when the Kardashians are being doused with powder.
It is good for Kim to know occasionally that not everyone is with her.
And most people aren't with her. And that's right. The message we have to get across.
Exactly.
That's the driest thing Kim's ever been doused with.
Flour,
by the way. All right, I got no time. So here's celebrity birthdays. Rick Ocasek from The Cars, he is 63 years old today. Shaka Khan is 59 years old. Catherine Keener, very beautiful and talented actress, 53 years old. So good. She was great in John Malkovich.
Being John Malkovich.
Boy, was she good in that. Even good in Where the Wild Things Are. Always good. Richard Grieco, 47 years old today. Damien Albarn of Blur and Gorillaz is 44 years old. And Kerry Russell, Felicity,
Aww.
36 years old today.
Did you watch that Felicity show, Bean, when you were?
I didn't.
I did.
You did?
But I like her very much.
I do, too. I think she's super talented. 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Monday on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, podcast legend Mark Maron, very funny comedian, is going to be joining us. Also, Tony Robbins will get all inspirational, and Harvey Levin from TMZ got down, too.
Don't bogart the joints, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We like to prolong the party around here.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
Ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Pass it over to me.
It's good for me.
Roll another one.
I loved McHale's Navy.
Just like the other one.
Oh my God.
Seems to be about to quit.
Do they do stuff to your butt?
I need another hit.
Well, must be psychosomatic.
Now don't worry, that's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken. Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
Roll.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
I'm the best. I'm the best. Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah.
This one seems to be about to end.
Burst.
No way. Uh-oh, sorry.
Rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Good morning. Can you make it through Friday?
Just pass it around.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
What?
I'm sorry, I can't hear her.
Just pass it on down.
Why am I sticky and naked? Did I miss something fun?
It was boring. People were sleeping. Nobody enjoyed it. There was no good feeling. Too bad. It was a great institution. It's gone.
I'm sorry. That's it. I have to leave. I really appreciate everything you and everybody have done. The time, the effort, the commitment. It's great, but it's not for me. I got to go.
Final question. This is tough. Can you see I'm not prepared? I got it.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.